Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Easy.
I booked a tour because here's the thing. I didn't think this pregnancy was going to last. I'm just being honest. Okay, I thought this was going to be a bad 3 weeks at work. That's what I thought. So I booked a tour. Are you ready for this? Can I just get a heads up if my bra is falling out of my dress?
Because the bra, or I mean, jeez, what is going on?
A lot of moving parts.
Like, are you carrying the baby in your tits? Is that
at this point?
Going
it feels
on?
Like that. I'm only halfway done. I can't believe I'm halfway done. I have more of this to go.
I mean,
and I hate it. I hate it.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how to talk to pregnant women. So, but I
I'm going to put my head down.
Well,
I'm
glad I'm here on the podcast.
You don't look that right. Like, you don't look pregnant.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
well,
that's good to hear.
Like, oh,
I also, I don't know if it's just the angle or like if you're doing it, propping them up for Instagram as a bit, but
yeah.
On the internet you look. I mean, you call yourself a barnyard animal.
I feel like one. My tits are like two torpedoes.
They're
disgusting,
like,
to look at night.
Some of the pictures are like porn star level.
They're
insane. In person, you look like
I have Yamanika
human.
Saunders titties.
Who's that?
On my body. It's crazy. You don't know Yam?
I don't know Yam.
One of the funniest comics you'll ever. But anyway, yeah, they're nuts, and I literally will. We just got back from Mexico. We were on our baby moon, and which is like it's baby moon, but really like the writer's strike happened, and I was like, we're going to Mexico. so I bought these tickets to Mexico, and I bought like six different swimsuits in like four different sizes because I was like, I don't know what the fuck I am anymore. And so I
especially like you're carrying it. Like just in your tits, so
yeah.
It's like the rest of your body's like.
I'm
the
like,
same
when
size
is the belly gonna get bigger than the tit? I'm just waiting for that moment when I'm obviously pregnant and I haven't just had work done.
I was gonna say, are people just being like, well,
people literally? I came
how
back.
How much did your tits cost
from winter break? And my friends at SNL were like, God, those residuals are hitting pretty well. I was like, I didn't do anything. I got nothing done. I swear
just
to God.
Got a baby,
and I just couldn't tell anybody for like 12 weeks.
Right.
Because I'll be honest, like, you know, I mean, I've said this on Instagram or whatever, but like Andy and I had been through a miscarriage. We'd been through all kinds of shit. We'd gone through IVF. And it wasn't, I had basically done IVF because I was like, like having a miscarriage kind of spooked me from the whole experience of like being pregnant. And I was like, I'll just put this on the shelf for a little. I'll like do IVF and then I can get pregnant whenever I want, you know? And the risk of miscarriage goes down so much because genetically these embryos are like the best we can do, right? We spent $20,000 on IVF and just fucking got pregnant.
Regularly? Oh my God.
By accident. Literally, I think maybe we'd fucked once that month. I really think, I mean, it was not a good month for us. And it just happened. And I was like, this is crazy. These are like our last two fucking brain cells. Like, this is not going to be our best work. I'm kind of like scared to meet her.
You have this perfect like foundation over here.
Yeah.
And you built a house like in the swamp.
I know. I'm just going to, every time she fucks up, I'm going to be like, just so you know. We got our first drafts over there. They're in a freezer.
First draft? Plan B. In a different sense.
First draft picks.
You're a different sort of plan B yeah. this time, girl.
Did I use that right? First draft picks? Is that the best ones?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Sports.
Didn't even Google it.
While we're still in the body shaming aspect of this, what the fuck's up with your knees?
My knees?
They were the shiniest knees I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, yesterday?
That was crazy.
You know what it was? I
think a screenshot of the Instagram story. I've never seen legs like
I really
that.
Think that it was, yeah, you just pull that up. It's they are kind of nuts. But like, here's what happened. We were in the airport in Mexico, and this like 21-year-old Greek child turned to me and was like, "You look so pretty. How old are you?" And I told her my age, and she was like, "No." And I spent $300 on lotion that she sold me. So I fell for a scam.
Yeah, totally.
For a scam, and Andy wouldn't stop making fun of me for it. And I was like, no, it really works. And I started using it on my knees while I was talking to him, and I was like, no, it actually does work. Like, I'm very shiny. I don't know if that's the point, but look how shiny my knees are. And then he was like, is one of your legs tanner than the other? So I can't fucking win. Yeah. But I think that's what it was. I think it was the scam lotion.
They were, I was like, holy shit, I've never seen these like yeah. this.
So yeah. when you figure out you got pregnant, it's obviously you're excited because you had gone through the struggles, but knowing that you just dropped 20 grand for nothing.
Right.
Is there a part of you that's like,
no,
God damn it, or is it just a celebration?
No. I mean, part of me was a little bit like, what the fuck? Yeah. But also, like, we had health insurance help us, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like, covers, the WGA has like a fertility preservation, like they cover like 30,000, right?
Whoa.
So like we were covered, we were fine, but I was just like, that's so much money to go towards something mm-hmm. and such a long process and such a pain in my fucking ass.
Yeah.
And then get pregnant the way that I got pregnant.
Did you like stop kind of caring for that one time that month where you're just like,
did. I mean,
sometimes I think that's how it like stress and all that shit can play a factor in it. I think it's when you're finally like, well, this probably isn't going to work anyway, so let's just fuck. You can leave it in. Who knows?
I think that's what happened. Because my niece came to visit, and I like had our niece with us for like a day and a half. She's like two. Not even. And so we were like walking her around the city, and I think I literally must have dropped her off at my sister's house and was like, we're getting pregnant. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? It's definitely going to happen, but I was just like, I don't care. If mm-hmm. it happens, great. If it doesn't, whatever. We've got the embryos. So I think it was like, you know, maybe some of the stress was lifted from the whole thing.
Yeah.
But either way, I was like, once it happened, I was like, oh, fuck. Now I have to, like, go to work and, like, do this I'm at work. Which I'm totally – it sucks. It sucks, dude. All right, this is the least feminist thing I've ever said, but working in the first trimester should be fucking illegal.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing I've ever had to do. It terrible. Sucked ass. I was literally – I lost all my edge. I was walking – I'll never forget. I was walking through Studio 8. And I heard Travis Kelce rehearsing his lines with a friend.
Oh, God.
Because he was, like, trying to get his lines right. And it was so cute to me that he had, like, a friend helping him read that I started crying in the hallway. I swear to God.
Get the fuck
I
was, out.
I started crying because Travis Kelce was practicing reading.
Did he see?
No, of course not. No, nobody saw. No one saw that.
No one's ever seen
before. No one's going to see that. But that's what happened. And then another time I cried because I dropped my phone and I was embarrassed. And there,
true. You just become a hormone monster.
Yeah, it was crazy. I've never cried this much in my life.
Yeah.
Like,
but are you able to like recognize like maybe in the middle of it or after the fact, you're like, okay, wait a minute. This is like...
Oh, I know while it's happening.
But you can't stop yourself.
But I can't stop it. I can't stop it at all. It's like if you're tripping, if you're in the middle of tripping on acid, you can't...
Yeah.
You can't not see what you're seeing. I mean, yeah, you go like, oh, I'm on drugs, but it's... That doesn't mean that your friend doesn't have a lizard head. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's still... Yeah,
you're still fucking
happening.
Scared.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what it feels like a little bit. Like you're just on drugs is what it feels like. It's terrifying.
The whole process is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If man had to do it, there'd be no human race. I would never.
Dude, it makes me fucking hate you guys so much.
That we don't have to?
That you don't have to do it. Yep. Is like, but also, I kind of, it's almost like better because I'm just like, I think about my dad. Like my dad, when I was born, my dad came into the hospital room high as a fucking kite, eating popcorn with his friend, like laughing after like a day in the park. And they got sent away, right? And I feel that like that's the way it should be. I just
vibe like is that
not anymore? That? Not yeah. anymore. But like back in the day, you know, before yeah. he was like just sold out for like corporate law or whatever. Yeah, he like yeah. you know he was like a hippie. So he comes mm-hmm. in and he's like he smells like weed. And my mom's like in labor, and she's like just get the fuck out. You know what I mean? So like, and now I'm like oh I get it. It's like it is our shit. Like we can do it. We know how to do it.
Yeah.
The thing about being pregnant now is that on the one hand men are so involved that it's nice because you're like legitimately co-parenting mm-hmm. but on the other hand you're like I got this, you know what yeah. I mean, like totally. Andy spent half of our baby moon like following me around with sunscreen,
right,
you know what I mean,
you're like get the fuck away,
and I was like yeah. God, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he was just like
well you know what it's like it's a very hard middle ground to find because
right.
if you're not like if he didn't do that once you'd be like you let me get fucking sunburned
exactly.
you piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one squirt too many right. get away from me yes. it's like you gotta thread the needle
yeah,
when you're
so
the dad
hard.
It's hard
and I feel for him because he really has spent I mean I god I any pregnant woman is tough but me pregnant
no
is a it's like I really do feel for him. I really am yeah. like you poor fucking thing. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna
he
do?
Is a punching bag.
I'm like this is. I'm what so sorry.
Like ordinarily, I've said many times before. Women go through all the pain, all the struggle, all
right.
that, and so obviously it is the you know like your I don't want to call it sympathy, but just like. Your empathy and all that should go towards women.
Yeah.
But don't get it twisted. It's very hard for a guy. He's not doing it, but he feels like he has to help. And
right.
he's got to deal with the hormone. Everything we just mentioned. But I'm always like, but that being said, guys have it easy and it's girls have to worry about. In this one situation, it's like, I don't know. That's a coin flip. On the one hand, it, you know, pregnancy, yes. On the other hand, it's dealing with a pregnant Rosebud Baker.
Yeah.
So.
I know. Literally the day it happened, I was like, oh, fuck.
I feel like
you're like when Spider-Man like realizes he has powers. Like,
yeah.
You're in the mirror like,
yeah.
This isn't going to go well.
It's exactly like.
I just see you being like a, like in The Walking Dead, the zombies who aren't just like, oh, the ones that are like, ah!
Dude, it's so fucked up. When I get mad about something, it's like, I'm going to say some shit that yeah. I fully regret and I can't take back. Like,
What's the worst thing you said to Andy while pregnant?
I don't think it's even to Andy. It's like, I think about. There was one time, oh, I was like fighting with somebody. I forget what it was. It was like we were at rewrites and I was fighting with somebody. I was doing some, I don't know what the take was, but I was defending it with my life, right?
And
it was yeah, it was the wrong take. But then somebody was like, well, you know, there's some, it was, the defense was basically like, that wasn't necessarily funny because I had a friend that killed themselves. And I just went, well, that's just fucking selfish. I go, you don't bring that up. I go, you don't bring that up to shut down a joke. I was like, sorry about your friend, but like, come on.
Well, I mean,
I go, you can't do that.
You're 100%
right. I was
going to
say, that's not wrong.
You might be like, talking to the wrong two
story.
People, but I'm completely with you.
Yeah. No, I was not.
Let's go around the room. Everybody else agrees.
Yeah.
One person with a sob story, you're gonna shut this down?
Every single person in the room was just like, you're crazy. You're absolutely
you're
fucking
in the wrong
crazy.
Writer's
that's crazy.
Room,
yeah, I'd be like, Bro was 100% right.
They were
keep
all
that
like,
shit to yourself, dude.
They were all like, no, no.
Oh, your friend committed suicide.
Well, that's just
welcome
selfish.
To a New York City writer's room.
All our friends committed suicide.
Yeah.
And now we're fucking here.
I'm
going
still,
next.
I still, at this point, if you guys support me anymore, I'm going to go back and say that I was right again.
Yeah.
And I've already sort of swallowed it. I've been like, you're right, I apologize.
Dude, we say
just
all the time,
for the sake
like,
of my job.
When people have a line, it gets so annoying because it's always people who don't have a line.
Yeah.
Who then have this
well,
one line.
Until it happens to them.
Where
or,
it's like, whoa, hang on. My grandmother died of cancer. So did our grandmother
I don't
died
even,
of cancer.
I don't even think they were talking about their friend. I think it was like a friend of theirs' friend.
Then
I don't even remember.
Fuck
it was so. It was just so out there that I was like, and then I paused and was like, well, that's fucking selfish. And everyone just went, Jesus Christ.
I might have approached it slightly different,
like,
but I'm
what is
on
wrong
your side.
With you?
It's actually funny you said that because I was with a buddy this weekend who we were at your show. Before I ever met you, we were at your show at Zany's in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a show you ended up posting because the woman got like...
Oh, that crazy drunk girl.
Yeah.
That was like our introduction to you.
She was like talking full gibberish.
Yeah. But I'd forgotten about that night or whatever. And he's like, were you in Rosebud this week? Like, remember when she was telling the joke about how her sister died? And we were the only table hysterically laughing. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, we get Rosebud's humor. We're on the same page here.
I know. It's nice now that people are actually showing up to my shows that know me because it feels like they're getting it. It doesn't.
Yeah,
it's
they're
not
like, hot tub, we know.
I kind of miss that moment. Where, like, I would tell a joke and half the crowd doesn't know me and they just go, no.
No.
Absolutely not. No.
You just see random heads in the crowd just be like, no.
I think it was, like, I saw, like, on YouTube, like, it might have been, like, a recording of your, it was you doing that joke at the Cellar. But it was almost like a recording of the recording kind of deal.
Right.
So I don't know if it was you or someone else's. And you were just like, this happened to me, not you guys. Like,
yeah, you can laugh.
Relax.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not crying about it, why are you?
Oh, right, That also pisses me off when people get upset for you. They think they're being good people, but they're just...
Ruining my joke is what they're doing.
They're just making it about them.
Yeah, being selfish.
It's their conscience or their whatever.
I think I've gotten to a point now where I go like, okay, you know, there's certain shit that people just can't really hear, and that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's like, I used to get mad about it, and now I just go like, it's not for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It really doesn't bother me anymore. I think it used to be more precious to me, like, if I told, because I'd worked on this joke, and it was like, this was the perfect telling of it, and I was just so precious about all this dumb shit that I do, and now I'm just kind of like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right. What do you think made that change?
I think probably working at SNL helped because you're just constantly being asked to come up with ideas and you're like, I don't have any ideas left.
Then
you sit there for a second and you go, oh, wait, I do. I have a pitch for that. I have a pitch for this. If I just like dig a little deeper, I have something for everything. Mm-hmm. So like my ideas aren't that precious. There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I can always kind of come up with something.
Right.
I just need to like focus on it a little longer.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would imagine too also people being like, that's not like, I don't really like that. Or my friend killed themselves. Like you hear it a lot more often. You're like, all right, fine. We'll scrap that one.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Fine. All right, another suicide.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You're not unique. It's like the third leading cause of death. Fucking grow up.
It's like, okay. But there's so much of that.
We need something a little more. Come on.
Right.
Sizzly, you know?
And sometimes it's not even like it's like there's politics in a writer's room. So there's certain things that like somebody could pitch and it'll get a laugh. And then another person will pitch kind of the same lateral idea and everybody just goes like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like it doesn't, they're pitching kind of the same thing and just in different ways. Right. And you just go, why did that, what the fuck? There's some.
One's a man, one's a woman.
I think there's a sketch. I forget what it's from, but there's some sketch where a bunch of writers are sitting in a room and they're pitching like letters for the alphabet. And they're like, and this one guy who's like a big shot is like, what about like K? And everybody just goes, oh my God, that's fucking brilliant. And then like this like random like new writer is like, I don't know, like D? And everybody just goes, fuck no. Okay. And I just kind of, and I, it's just like hearing that sketch just made me like die. I was like, that's so much what it's like.
You're just, I don't know. There writers' like, rooms, oh, in general, like, I mean, we've, I guess you're doing a little bit now. They started a, no, sketch show. But I mean, you are,
wait,
sharing.
Wait, you did? I didn't know,
yeah,
about this.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't,
great, it's fucking very
funny. I would prefer not to talk about it with somebody who works for SNL.
Oh, come on.
No, we know how things are. I genuinely think it's like very, very funny. I think someone of your caliber would watch it and think at least a couple of them are very funny.
Okay, but, I want to see it. Can I see it?
You can see it when I'm not around.
I was going to say, let's, okay, watch it right now with John.
I've never seen it.
Really?
No. He refuses. And it's like, it's,
I get,
getting,
that.
It's get, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's getting rave reviews, mm-hmm, and he won't even like engage in feedback or look at a comment or anything.
Dude, I didn't know about this. I, yeah, feel so stupid. What the,
well,
fuck?
Well, yeah, you're a dumb bitch.
That's so, wait, where is it?
Wait, are you pregnant? I didn't know about that either. Yeah,
because we're both making miracles.
We thought it was impossible for both of you, but here we are.
Here we are. Wow. It's crazy.
John had several ones that didn't work either.
Wait, where is it though?
It's on YouTube.
YouTube.
It's, yeah, on YouTube. Okay, yeah, great.
It's, yeah, what, three episodes in? Four episodes in?
Three episodes.
Oh, that's, yeah, awesome.
Four will be on Tuesday. And, right?
No, we have a little time until episode four, but.
Oh, right.
We just do one a month.
Right.
Okay.
Just, like, it's a couple of people who were here, and it's everyone's, like, secondary, funny, third, man, job kind of deal.
Some, so, great.
That's, so, fun.
Some great stuff.
Yeah. It's fun. It's very fun.
They had one, like, I think the very first one was a gay couple, him and, you know, Little Sass, he's a,
yeah,
gay,
yeah,
comedian. Yeah. So he's the other guy, main guy in it. And they adopt a baby, and they thought they were getting a black girl.
And
they get a white boy.
I forget.
And they're,
yeah,
trying to be.
I don't want
to
talk about it.
They get disappointed.
Yeah. But they're trying not to be, but they're like, no, it'll be fine.
You guys
they're
have like, taken a hair like, class
but
already.
But we wanted a black one. We wanted a black one. There's that. Well, I don't want to put you. You're just dying. He's about to explode.
Yeah, I know. You really are folding in on yourself, literally.
But it's him, Lil Sass. He's the producer, Pavs.
That's awesome.
And a couple writers. And it's like when we used to blog, it's not certainly not the same as making a skit, but it's like you did it solely yourself. You found the topics. You found the pictures and the videos you were going to use. You wrote the jokes. You wrote the story.
Yeah.
And you published the story. And
right.
No one even fucking edited. No one looks at it. I never got any sort of feedback other than like assholes,
yeah,
in the public. But that grew like if I think something's funny now, or I'm like, what about this? And someone's like, I don't know. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck,
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
like, fuck. Nah, right. You know what you're talking,
yeah,
about.
You get
like,
so
I don't
upset.
Think a whole room of people like, this is my joke or my premise or my episode, pilot, sketch, whatever. And then they're like, well, let's, how about if that was like a girl instead or something major? I'm like,
yeah.
No, like,
right.
Fuck you.
Right.
That's a skill in and of itself is to be able to,
yeah,
because I'm sure that's, you know, if you listen to people and take the best of all ideas, that's when, yeah, like the real magic. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to like say an idea out loud and hear like 5 to 6 people just give you nothing. They just avoid eye contact. It's like so much worse than bombing on stage to,
really?
Me because, yeah, I'm just like, well, you guys, I can see you. I'm right here. I'm at the table. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, come on. You know, and then you could try to say something to save it, but most of the time that doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Because you
bummed
everybody out.
I was just joking. It was not a real,
yeah,
idea.
Like, I'll say something every once in a while. I'll say something and it eats shit. And then I go like, all right, sorry. Yeah. And that gets nothing, yeah, too. And I'm like, what the fuck? Come on, you guys.
Give
Come
me
on.
Something.
Yeah, I'm like,
give me a chuckle about how
really
much I bombed.
Hanging
give me
on here.
Something.
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So it was like, it was hard to like go like into that every day and also be pregnant and not tell them that I was.
Right.
Because I was so emotional. Every time something didn't go.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
You also, were you also getting emotional about the fact that all the writing you were doing, you were getting no money for it? God,
oh, no.
Damn, you guys need to strike.
Here's the thing. I get what you're saying, but SNL is striking mainly in solidarity because we do get residuals. But the people that work for the streamers, like late night writers have it good. Like we're basically still on this ancient
kind of
thing.
So you guys are just doing it for the little guys.
Really? Thing where we're still getting paid a livable wage.
Cool.
But anyone who works for HBO Max or Netflix or
then.
Yeah, I know.
You're just like, tell me when that works out. I'll be on my pile of money over here.
I mean, we still got to picket and all that bullshit. Yeah, but
you've done picketing, I imagine.
Yeah, I've done that.
Get out of that. I'd be like, pregnant. I can't picket.
You can't. I literally.
And what
I
are they? Oh, you're like it's like scheduled.
Yeah.
Really?
They like make sure you do it.
You have to sign up.
What happens? Like, will they like watch you? Like, we need evidence or something.
I don't really know.
You know, it's
I
one
don't
of those things.
Like, find
it's like when
out.
You get banned from a stadium. It's like you're not gonna. I can come back to the stadium.
Right.
Like, how are you gonna enforce this?
You think that, but then you go like, I don't know. What if I'm like the person,
the one person? Yeah.
It feels like I would be like the person that got caught.
Do they have the rat out there?
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was a rat for like people that work with their hands.
It was. Dude, it was in front of this building
it's
for like a
union.
Full year.
This is any union.
It was, I didn't know it was any union.
You like borrow the rat, I think, right? I guess so. I think it's like a rat that it's like the steam fitters use it and the fucking Teamsters use it and now the writers use it.
Yeah, the rat was there. I was like, that's our rat too? I have no idea.
It does feel different like a
union
is
like
a union.
Art,
but when it's like,
you
know,
you like do art, like, it just feels like,
right.
Like, the guys in overalls.
Right. I need a livable wage because I'm like inside of a like natural gas pipe that might explode.
Yeah.
These guys are like writing funny jokes and want money for it.
I'm like, we should just get like a big minion.
Yeah.
Like one of the minions.
Yeah.
And just leave that. That should be our union.
Giant Brendan Sagalow.
Well, that would take writing. I'm just kidding. Love you, Brendan.
Do you, with the whole strike thing, we've talked about it probably more than we should on the show. Like, what do you think about, like, the AI? Like, do you think there's going to be anything
I think
with
it's
that?
A serious fucking problem.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that if they're trying to, like, fold in language now that, like, uses AI to use an actor's likeness without their permission, they want to create an economy where this is what's crazy about it is like they don't understand that this could like take over their jobs too.
Right,
and this is what we came to the table. We were like, we want to discuss AI and what the developments with it
primary though, right?
Like it was on our list of demands. So
right,
it was like part of the negotiations.
Right.
So we have like this list of demands, and that was pretty high up on the I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I can't think of the word. So we go in, we're like, we want to talk about getting compensated. We want to talk about preventing AI from taking over, all of that. And they were like, their counteroffer was, yeah, we'll meet once a year to discuss advancements in technology. And we were like, so you just want to sit down once a year and be like, wow, so technology is
also like in a year
really
from now,
off.
AI will be like 100 times what it was when it first came out.
No shit. I'm like, the head of Google quit before the house burned down.
Yeah.
So like we're fucked.
Right.
Didn't he like leave a manifesto too? I just said like whoops.
I mean like, that's what like, it seems like.
He had like I just read a headline, obviously, but it was like leaves and expresses sincere regret for what he worked for his life's work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they
some atomic bomb shit. So we shouldn't have made this.
Right.
Except this was every step of the way of building the atomic bomb. They were going, we shouldn't make this.
Yeah, he just kept doing
like,
it. Yeah.
Everyone the whole time was like, we probably shouldn't do this.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you think we were debating whether or not if like a show or a song or I guess your expertise would be more the TV show and movies. If you let's say it turned out a really good script. Because right now I think you can come up with some stuff, but like, it can't be a whole movie. Let's say they do. If people find out that it's written by a computer, do you think the audience cares enough to not go see it or pay?
No,
or
I don't think they give a shit.
Yeah.
No, I don't even think they'll know.
With music, I don't know. With music, I'm always thinking the TV movies is a difficult one because it is like that. We what I've said is like I still need I need the human element. I need like if you tell me a song was written by a robot, I'm like, well, I don't really care. But if I'm in a show or a movie, it does still have the human actor. So like there is still a human element to it. So I don't know how I'd respond to that. I guess
because it's like right now, except for a few shows and a few writers, showrunners, you don't know who writes them anyway, you know? Right. So they could just put like Joe Smith and Susie Q on the credits and it's written by a computer and you don't know or care.
Right.
But I wonder if knowing that after the fact, if you were just like, I found out that season two was written by our generation,
but I think the next generation isn't going to give a shit because they weren't raised like the way that this generation was with like human creation.
I'm thinking about my own kids. Like, I don't even think they'll grasp the concept of why, like, the human element is a thing, you know?
Or like, why that's important.
Right. They're just like, I like the thing.
Yeah. I mean,
I liked what.
There's a song that Drake. AI make a Drake song or something?
Yeah. And it was really good. He put out a real song, and an AI song came out around, like, the same time. And, like, the. Like 100% consensus is the fake one was good and the real one was bad. Just so much so that people were like, Drake should have said the bad one was also AI and just got that off of his, like, you know,
I didn't know he had a real one. I haven't heard either of them.
Search and Rescue.
I mean, it's really, that's the kind of shit that makes you go, like, oh, okay, so, like, we don't really even care that much.
But don't you think that there's, like, I think it's always better to, like, lean into stuff and try to benefit from it rather than fight it because you ain't going to stop it. AI's like, unless you have, like, if you can just agree on in paper to say, we're not going to use this, but, like, I don't know, that contract expires, or, people are going to use it, so.
I think you're right. I think people are going to use it. I think it's going to, but I do think that if there's some kind of, like, regulation of it, then I think we're better off, because I do think, I mean, the economy is, like, already in the shitter.
Like if all of these jobs disappear.
And it's like Rome is falling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we're just handing it all over to, like, you know, and I'm sure there's people that are going to be like, but this is progress. Okay. And it's like, yeah, yes. Okay.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Like, not really. I don't
know. I mean, it is.
I would. It's technological progress. Like, it's not civilization progress.
It doesn't feel like the, I guess, like the benefit. Theoretically, if AI could, like, TV is not getting better because of AI. It's just like, yeah, but even so, okay, like, what would be the benefit? AI can write it faster and do more. That's not necessarily
what we were talking about. Was like
you don't want 1,000 seasons. You don't want 10 seasons, and because eventually, like, shows run its course. Whether or not it takes a human 2 years to write that or AI to 2 minutes to write that. Well, you only want about 5-6 seasons and 10 episodes a season.
I mean, the show runs its course when people stop watching, really.
Yeah, but like,
because how many?
I'm just saying, what does AI do that makes the television better? Is it going to be funnier than people?
I think it makes...
Is it just that it's less labor, less cost, can do faster?
That's really
that
what it's
shit.
About, and so it's not about better for the audience,
right?
It's
that's
not,
what I mean.
It's about better for the for networks,
the networks. Yeah.
And
cheaper.
So
like all
what
well,
they could
I don't know
do is
but.
Have AI really write a full script, and then bring in 2 to 3 writers to like punch it up or change it, and pay them absolute garbage, and then.
But I guess so.
Turn
like
it
when,
basically
when,
into a gig economy.
When Easy Pass gets rid of all toll booth people, I'm like, that sucks, but. The world and the consumer very much benefit from being able to just fucking go, and there's no more traffic anymore. If the audience and the general public doesn't like get a better product, the execs will use it just for the money and all that, but it just doesn't feel like people will be like, okay, this is awesome because entertainment got better. It's like
people don't necessarily need a better product to find something easier to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can watch a show. I mean, I'm obsessed with Vanderpump.
Mm-hmm.
That is an easy show for me to watch.
Yeah.
It's not a good show.
No, it's trash, yeah.
It's not, like, Real Housewives of New York is an excellent show for me to watch because it's easy for me to consume.
And it's, yeah, yeah.
But it's not a good show. And so that's kind of the danger, I think, of AI is, like, yeah, it'll make more shows. It'll make shows that are very easy to consume.
This is what I mean. It's not.
And you won't necessarily be thinking about, like, is this, like, a quality thing to feed my brain?
Yeah, right. If somehow all of a sudden AI turned out in, like, in 1 year, they wrote, like, a Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Mad Men, all in one section, which basically was happening in, like, the mid-2000s. Like, all writers just did that, all, like, from, like, a 5 or 10 year span. If that was happening, I think people would be like, AI is the best. Mm-hmm. All of these TV shows are awesome. But if it's, like, just the same, worse, yeah, I think – I don't think it trickles down to the consumer – unless maybe it's like, okay, now Netflix is only like $1 a month.
Right.
That could impact.
Yeah.
But like, what is the, you know, how does it get down to the public? I don't see. In the writing. Everywhere else I get it. But like, in something like entertainment, I don't really quite get.
Obviously, I don't know. None of us know. Yeah. Nobody's got the answers to this. But I do think that that's kind of the danger of it is like you get a ton of content, which you're already getting because they're pumping out shows like from writers that are – we're working harder than we've ever worked for less money than we've ever made. And I say we – I'm not including late night writers. I'm talking about the writers as a whole. Yeah. But like for less money than we've ever made before. And these rooms are lasting for like 2 to 3 weeks. They are – they're pumping out like – 8 episodes or something, and they've got like 6 writers in a room that should be 12. So you just got people like really kind of doing what AI would do, and you're not necessarily, not every show is going to be good, but you have writers that really care about the quality of what they're making,
right?
And I think with AI, you just are going to have like it's about quantity,
and AI and shit can do like. Sarcasm and it would know to write a callback and shit like it's on level. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never read an AI script, so I say that I'm assuming that's true. I don't actually know.
Right.
Your bra's hanging out a little bit.
I was just about to stop you. Yeah, the bra.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
We were kind of talking about something serious. I didn't know if I should interject.
No, I did. I appreciate it.
I was going to be awkward enough.
I asked for the heads up.
Thank you. Yeah. As soon as you said that, I was like, I hope Jackie speaks up because I'm not going to do this.
Your bra's hanging out.
You didn't see it.
I couldn't see it.
That's something you should say you couldn't.
You know what? It's crazy because my boobs really, they'll just get out of breath if they're held in for too long. They sort of come up to gasp for air.
I was like,
kind of a hole in your titties.
They really, I do. Jesus Christ.
I was like, it was, dude, for the last 5 minutes, I've been like, not 5 minutes. But,
Has it been 5 minutes?
No, it's just been whatever. It's not been that long, but it's been all into my head.
And the bra, this is the worst part about it. I don't even give a shit about people seeing the bra. It's just the bra itself is so...
The bra looks
such
like it's
a mother bra.
It looks like it's from the 1940s.
It's really, that's because it is. It's basically like the underside of the Brooklyn Bridge. Just I'm truly just taping shit up at this point.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You mentioned Vanderpump. And
yes.
I heard Andy Cohen was here today.
You were with the bad guys, right?
I went to go see Tom Sandoval.
Is that so? I send you a DM.
He's like public enemy number one.
Caps locks. Like, what is the reason? I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just had.
You just knew I was in a bad place.
I just knew some girls were like, "Why is Rosebud there?" And I was like,
"They were messaging you."
I was like, "What is the reason?"
It's so funny to me that they don't get like. Because it's funny. Yeah,
yeah. Because, I don't really care.
Because I'm like, this is a distraction from my life. It's not my life. What the fuck?
Were you just a fan of the show and went to
the We would watch the show every Wednesday while we were waiting for picks to come out, while they were like choosing SNL, like choosing the script. So we would do table read, and then we would go sit in my office and we would watch Vanderpump Rules. And I got so invested in this whole story. And I'm like, it's crazy to me. These are just like, they're all alcoholics.
Yeah, and they
got invited to the White House correspondence dinner. I'm like, this is crazy. If I could have kept drinking, if I had just kept drinking long enough and been on a show, I could just go to the White House correspondence dinner? What the fuck am I working for?
I bet you producers look at you like, you know, it's like the kid who's like athletic but didn't play sports. Like, oh man, what could have been? Like, if that bitch just drank and was a waitress, we could have made millions off of her.
Yes, exactly.
You think, what, like Stassi is tough, you think? Watch out.
Oh my
out.
God. We Stassi, had Rosebud. Lala. I mean, yeah. every fucking bitches, word man. Out of Lala's mouth, I'm just like, I love you. I love you. I can't help it. I truly like. I got so invested in this show, and then when I saw that we saw these clips, we have I wrote a sketch called Vanderdump Pools, and it was like it was just the stupid fucking sketch that didn't get picked, and
it was so stupid.
And I
what was the premise?
It was like it was just the same drama from the show, but it was at a fucking public pool, and these people were. It's just like a fucking mockery of the whole show.
Yeah.
So I wrote the sketch. It didn't get picked, and I started a chain with everybody. Or I don't know if I – somebody did. We started a full text chain with everybody that was like – that would watch the show every Wednesday. And we called it Vanderdump Pools. And so Jimmy sent everybody this like Instagram clip of somebody had gone to his show in Long Island and was like showing the empty seats, right? Just like him performing his heart out to an empty fucking theater.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, he's coming here. Like – we have to go.
Yeah.
I want to go see this man's traveling karaoke project. And I want to see it. I want to see it perform to an empty room. And here's the thing is like, I guess a bunch of people wanted to see him perform for an empty room.
Yeah.
Because he did pretty okay when it comes to ticket sales. I mean, he didn't sell out Gramercy, which is like, not the biggest theater, yeah, okay? Sure. Like, come on, you know?
Does he sing?
Not that hard to sell out.
Does he sing?
He sang. He sings the whole time. He sings. I mean, he does what he does.
Is it argue too much? He sings.
He sings every song in like a different accent. Like it's so funny to me. Like he sings like he does like the "I will walk 500 miles" like in a Scottish accent, like in a fake Scottish accent. And then he's like, and we're all watching. And we're just going, no, oh no.
Like, see, I thought so. I sent you that DM, and it was all caps locks, and I was like. She might not know that I don't care about this, so she might think like I thought maybe you were friends with him because you were backstage and stuff.
No, and we like, got there and somebody came to us. I guess somebody found out that we were with SNL and they came and they gave us these backstage passes. And so we were all like, I mean, what are we God. Not gonna yeah. go backstage? Yeah. So we went and obviously
Did
he comes out no shirt on. We were all just like,
no way.
What's
what?
Up, Tom?
See, it's awesome when you meet someone and they are exactly who they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that guy is fucking
yeah. I mean, listen.
He's like a reality.
A guy wearing a fucking like makeup on his eyes with glitter. It's like you're not going to expect the most from this man. He's not. You're not going to get a genuine apology from a guy.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like he's wearing glitter. He's fully wearing like he's dressed like Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Like 40 years from now, basically. I mean, it's wild to watch. And I listen. It was just funny to me because. I just started spewing, like, shit. I just started being like, yeah, we wrote a sketch about you. And everybody was like, don't say that to
me.
I was like, it didn't get picked, but it was funny.
We crushed you, man. But
I was like, it was really funny. It was called Vanderdump Pools, and it was just making fun of your whole life. Anyway.
Vanderdump didn't get picked, though.
It's so stupid. I was literally curling my hair one morning. There was no idea, by the way.
Just the name.
It was just Vanderdump Pools came to my head, and I was like, there's probably something there. And then we just wrote a sketch based off of that, and it was like trash. It was trash. And and here's the thing, we had graphics make up like a whole, we had like graphics make the Vanderpump Rules sign, but with the cast heads on everybody, on like everyone's bodies.
Yeah.
And even though it didn't get picked, I had graphics printed out for me so that I could put it in my office and hang it. And so now when people come in, they go, oh, what's that from? And I go, I never made it beyond table. Never even made it to table, actually. Like, we didn't even read it out loud. But that's how bad it was.
So does something like that, though, like if you talk about it now and like we laugh about it, could it like get a second wind, like a cult following of people being like I think if you told your following about it and people were like, Vanderdump Pools is fucking funny, that like the powers that be would be like, all right, like there's a, you know,
I mean, we almost, every sketch
like,
that
focus tested it, so like a focus group.
I feel like every sketch that I've ever written that didn't get picked at SNL, I'm like, I save it all in like a folder, and I'm like, well, if I ever get a sketch show, I've just got everything I want to write is like right there. But I don't, it's never really a loss. If it's like, if it goes to table and it gets laughs, I feel really happy. I like, don't care so much about if it makes the show.
You get paid.
If I make the other comics laugh on Wednesday, I feel really good for the rest of the week. I don't feel like my week was a waste.
If you write a million skits this year and none of them go to the show, does that affect your money?
No. No, I get the check clears.
No matter what. Yeah.
Now, no matter what.
But will they be like, I mean, you know, Rosebud hasn't written a skit that's made it to air, so.
They'll probably be like yeah, she's got to get something on
Yeah, okay, yeah. But it's not like, you know, if you don't hit 20 in a year or some, whatever. It's just, it could be zero, it could be 1,000.
Yeah.
You get paid what you get paid.
Pretty much.
Until the contract. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the kind of deal you need.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's like what writers lived off of. It's like you'd get one job, that job would have its off season, and then you'd get residuals for, and that's what we live off of, is like the residuals. And the streamers don't pay residuals, and their rooms are shorter. So their rooms are like 13
smaller
weeks.
People.
Or like, so it's a couple months.
Yeah.
I think it was Snoop Dogg who had like the best like take on it. That's not the best.
Like, where's that money?
He said the streaming services are telling the artists that it doesn't make money. And you're telling the investors that it's going to get them
worth
crazy rich.
A billion. Yeah.
So pick one of us. You're lying to one of us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, just let us know which one it is. Mm-hmm. But you're lying to either us or them.
Right. And who are they going to lie to?
Yeah.
We fucking know.
The dumb fucking artists. Like, just give us a chance.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is like there's so many people who want to be artists and so many starving artists and shit that it's kind of like, I think it's, you know, when you get to a place where you're successful, you're like, I got to get this fucking money now. But in the beginning, people are like, I'm just happy to have a label. Happy to be.
Yeah, you spend so many years just taking whatever you can get. And then.
They just,
I'm lucky to have a badge that gets me into the building.
Right? Yeah.
And like,
you just get butt fucked.
Yeah.
In every, whether you're a comedian, a writer, an actor, whatever, like so much in the beginning. I mean, even some of the comedy stuff blows my mind. I guess like rent is really crazy. So if you're a club owner, You're already providing something very important in the stage and the audience, right?
Right.
And that can cost New York City tens of thousands of dollars. But when I hear that, like, some people go on stage for, like, $20, like, $50, it's like, what?
$50 a spot.
Yeah, like, that's fucking nothing, especially this day and age. Like, but, you know, but, like, if you don't, like, there's some comic who probably would, right? So it's like, I guess
there's always a comic that will,
But, so is there... There's no sort of comedy union, is there? I mean, they're not writers, right? Like,
no.
We all hate each other.
I was going to say, that couldn't really ever even exist, right?
There's no union.
Like, if you guys ever just said...
For fucking pirates. There's no union.
But if you guys ever could somehow tell all these New York spots, like, We're not going on stage for $50 anymore. You won't have a single comic unless you give all of us $250 a spot.
They did that at the Comedy Store, like years and years and years ago, when Mitzi Shore wasn't paying comics, and then the comics did a strike, and there was like, there. It's all in that book. What's it called? They did a show off of it on Showtime.
The documentary, yeah.
That fucking Santino was in.
Yeah.
What's the name of it? Anyway, I read the book. It's like this history of the Comedy Store, basically. And
did it work?
It was a huge deal, and it worked. It worked. But you still have comics there that are like working the door for like years and years and years. And it's like, I mean, I haven't tried to get in at the store, you know, like I haven't tried yet.
Ever?
I mean, I did like a friends and family showcase thing, but I wasn't sure how it worked. And I guess maybe that was like a thing. But it was right before the pandemic and then nothing. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go out to LA at this point and be like, and work at the door.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, do you know what I mean? It's like,
you're out there barking and shit.
But that's kind of the attitude, you know? It's like, you are like, you got to pay your dues all over again,
but
no matter what city
you're
starting.
That's crazy. I can understand if you're like young and, let me move this a little bit. You good?
Yeah.
If you're young and all that, but it's like, bro, I did this for 20 years in New York. I already did this. Like, I'm
not
fucking doing it for you, too.
Right, right. Well, I think most people just don't.
The systems are just a little jacked up. Like,
yeah, it's
would
a
you say
crazy.
Like the club owners have power in that realm?
Yeah.
Once you really blow up, I'm sure the act does. But in the beginning, it feels like they can pay you anywhere from like zero to like very limited money. And you guys are just so eager to get spots and get an audience and do your takes.
Well, it's such a hard, because every club is like its own kind of ecosystem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's certain club owners that do it really, really well. And they have like a real respect for comedy. And they have bookers that really respect comedy and that want to build a comic and allow them space to like stretch and do and just grow as a comedian. Then you have like these bookers that, and this is always, I've always said this, but like you get a club where this is like a tricky thing where an owner is doing really well, right? And the club is like, comics are loving it. It's a good hang. Audiences are showing up and the word is really good. And then they start to get these side projects. And it's like always a sign that the club is on its way.
Meaning
down
what?
The fucking shitter.
What's
a
side
like
project?
A side project. They'll be like, oh, this is going well. We're going to open up another one.
Yeah.
And we're going to open it up in this place that no one fucking needs a comedy club.
Right.
And and now we're going to manage comics. Now we're going to do that. You know what I mean? And it's like there's certain clubs that have done this that are doing it pretty well. They've like narrowed their focus. But it's just tricky. I'm always like skeptical. Whenever I see a club owner be like, oh, and we got this going on, we got this going on, we got this going on, I'm like,
How come you're not just doing
what happened
the
to
one
the thing that you were doing really well?
Just the one thing.
Yeah.
The Cheesecake Factory.
And it happens really
too many,
slowly.
Too many.
It happens really slowly, but it's like they get greedy.
Mm.
But and it's kind of like, okay, fine. But you're not gonna get shittier and shittier comics into that club. And it's gonna become more and more of like kind of a scam.
I was talking to Francis about like what, because Barstool's been opening up bars in different cities. And I was like, well, I wonder if we could ever open up a club. Because if we were coming from a different angle, being like financed by like a fucking big gambling operation, there might be more money. And what if you could pay comics better? Wouldn't that be great? We'd come in and be like, you know, everybody would want to come to us if we're paying five times what you make at other clubs.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, but these other clubs will be like, if you go up on stage with them, like, you can't come back to my place.
Yeah.
And then you're blackballed from, you know, the other places you'd go. And I was like, oh, goddamn, this is like a fucking whole, like...
Yeah, that's like, you know, certain like markets. I kind of get that. Because if you're a traveling comic and you're going to a city that you have to headline this one thing, you're trying to drive ticket sales to that one place.
Right.
If you are then also performing at the club down the street, you're kind of watering down your own ticket sales. So it doesn't necessarily make sense for you as a comic either, because you're not just going there to like stretch. Mm-hmm. You're going there to make money.
Right.
So I get that a little bit more. It doesn't make sense in your hometown, in like a city that it's good. I mean, I have a home club, right? And that's the place that I perform the most. And that's the Cellar. And then I have other clubs that I perform at as well. But I kind of, there is a loyalty that I go, okay, well, I've put in avails here, and that's where I'm kind of like focused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if I have avails in the rest of the month, I'll go other places, you know?
That makes sense. I get that. Yeah. Like the local loyal, like I came up with this person, whoever owns the club kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. I mean, but that's also just for me, like in terms of like making my own life easier. It's just like, how many different people do I want to be emailing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I just can't.
I can't email.
Right.
I don't email anymore. I'm like, I'm off the email.
It's too much. Mail, you might as well fucking call me and read me a book. It's so much effort to fucking email.
I'm off text now. I was surprised when you said like I started a group text. My like stomach churned.
I know. Yeah.
Like, group texts are like shower sex. Like they're great.
For a second.
In theory. And then, you're like, what the fuck?
Everybody's just going, why do we do this?
Yeah, I got all this going on now. This sucks.
But I do like, I feel like the writers at my work don't, they're really good about group chat. Like, no one really responds. They send it out, and then, like, nobody responds unless they've got something really fucking good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they'll respond. Like, I think there was
that's
one.
That's the worst, when you have the person who does respond to things.
Yeah.
And then you feel bad that you didn't also respond. You're like, no, if just no one responds, we're fine.
If nobody responds, you're good. And no one does. It's really good. There was one text. I think somebody texted, like, see you guys. If anybody could send in promos, and we were on break. And I think Che responded, leave us alone. And everyone, no one said anything in response to that, but we all got back to work and talked about it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's respectful.
We had a car ride the other day from the hotel to the airport that was like 40 minutes, and it was dead silent for like 38 of the minutes.
Yeah.
And then our dumb producer spoke up, and we were like, you ruined it! We had a moment of just people being quiet and not bothering each other about anything or bringing up stupid shit for like 40 whole minutes. It was amazing!
You're like, god damn it!
The second he uttered a syllable, I snapped.
No! You ruined history in the making. That's
the driver great. Turned around. He thought like we were really going to fight. He fucking great. Talked! You heard it!
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
How's Andy doing?
He's doing good. I mean, other than having to like walk around the house like on his tiptoes, he's doing
really good. I think people should walk around the house on their tiptoes.
Yeah.
Pregnant person or not in the house.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Fucking house.
I saw.
You're so deranged, dude.
Dude,
I think everyone should be uncomfortable in their own
home.
He's
like, here's my take.
I saw a Instagram reel yesterday, and it was like, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are good people and bad people. And it was like good people, and it was like someone closing a door, but with the doorknob already turned, and then letting it go quietly,
so it doesn't,
rather than slamming it and then letting it like snap.
Yeah,
right. And I was like, well, I know which one of these I am, and it's the first one. I quietly shut a door. And the one that always gets me is people on the Amtrak when they close the top thing, they let it snap, and it's so fucking loud. And I think everything.
So you're one of those people who's like really irritated by loud noises.
John's ears have anything.
Yeah. Everything you do.
Yeah.
I think you should. It should be in like the. I think it's Mission Impossible where they're trying to break into a thing where like they're also measuring sound. You should make sure it's as quiet as possible at all times.
Right.
Like a car ride.
I kind of get that.
Yeah. Andy, that's good practice for Andy, but he should practice it at all times. It should be a 24/7.
Well, he's going to be practicing it when the baby's here for sure.
Yeah.
So we got that under control. I mean, he's doing really good. I feel like this has been the wildest fucking experience for us, and just like everything changes so fast, and you're just like, holy fucking shit. You're just like in it together, you know?
Does this thing
do?
Yeah.
It's baby's due October 7th. I should stop calling it it.
It's coming.
Yeah.
This is going to be a ridiculous question, I'm sure. But like,
go for it.
This is, I imagine it's like another, so we're actually, like, we're together.
Yeah.
Like, we're really
this
together.
This is
now.
For real.
Like, we had the cute little wedding and all that stuff, but, like, now we're together.
Yes.
That kind of blows my mind, that there's, like, yeah, after post-wedding, there's another level of, like, wow.
It keeps blowing my mind that my baby is half him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just – it keeps blowing my mind that I'm, like
– I could see you being, like – the baby looks like Andy, like one of those people. This fucking kid came out looking like my husband. God damn it.
I'd be thrilled if she looked like Andy. I really would. I think she'd be so cute with like a sharp chin. A baby with a sharp chin. I think she's going to be super cute. But I also am like, I am just like, I hope she's got more... I hope she's like a rough bitch. You know what I mean? I really just want her to be.
If DNA has anything to say about it, I think that's what I want.
I want her to be like the type of person who just like hunts and kills people for sport. That's really my goal. But here's the thing is I keep saying this to my sisters and they're like, she's not. They're like, because that's what you want, she's
She'll
gonna
be a sweetheart.
They're like, she's gonna be like Andy, she's gonna be like kind of silent but disappointed. And I'm like, don't say that. They're like, that's what she's gonna be.
You have any names?
We got names, but we're not telling names because I'm like, if you tell a name, people make a face, and then you just
it's
go
funny
like,
they people do not,
they really want to let you know
they really
their
lack
opinion.
So everybody lacks social couth
almost
in all situations, but when it comes to the names,
yeah,
they really can't help
or just
themselves.
Babies in general. They really are crazy when it comes to like babies in general. Like I it's crazy to me how many things people have said to me where like I walked into the stand and somebody goes, hey, your face looks different. I go, yeah, I'm pregnant. She goes, yeah, I was gonna say your face looks fatter. I was like, what the fuck? And then like this was like a week after I go to my OB's office, right? I picked this Italian bitch because I thought she's gonna be like, you know, she'll let me get fat in peace. I stepped off the scale and this bitch goes, okay, that's enough.
No
she
more.
Goes, you've had your fun. That's enough. You ate too much. I was like, excuse me? She goes, it's too much food. You ate. You have to stop. I was like, oh my God. Andy's sitting there laughing. I was like, this is not fucking funny.
This is a doctor or like
this is my doctor. My doctor who will be delivering my child. Dude, okay.
No more a pizza pie.
That's enough.
You got a Nintendo cartoon as a OBGYN.
Yes. I have Mario as my daughter. She's such a bitch. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, listen, I'm glad that she's – you don't want a doctor who's going to tell you what you want to hear, right?
Yeah,
you need a doctor who's going to tell
whatever,
you what you need to hear. But she goes, it's too much food.
She was like, a little bedside manner.
She
doc.
Goes, how much weight? She goes, because it literally every single article I've read is like, yeah, most women lose weight in the first trimester. I'm 20 pounds up. I'm for real, just keep packing on, and I can't stop eating. I'm fully just shoving shit in my hole all day. And I can't stop. There's no stopping me. I'm like, I can't. It's not an option. I'm going to Italy this month. I'm going to fucking.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to end this thing. I'm going to be like 70 pounds. I know it. And she goes, you're going to be very mad at me if I tell you you have to stop eating because you're going to get so big. And I was like, yeah, I am, bitch. I am going to get so big. I'm like, that's the plan. All right. I've had to be on camera.
Yeah,
I'm like, I've had to be thin my whole fucking life. I want to be fat. I want to get fat. All right. This Hell is yeah. my time.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. What are you going to, and then so you think you will change as a person? Like, you think your comedy will be different?
Of course. I mean,
you think you'll be like, less of a, I don't know, cynical bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already feel like a little less.
A little soft.
I mean, I did fall for a scam at the airport.
Yeah, that's how you know.
But I don't.
Old Rosebud would have like spit in that guy's face and punched him.
Truly, I was like, it was crazy how easily she got that money out of me. But I don't know. I think probably I'll change. I think you have to change somewhat as a person.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're a true sociopath.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am kind of psyched to see what happens. I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, I haven't had a suicidal thought in like months.
No way.
Let's go.
Crazy. I know. It's crazy. Right. Not even like a funny one. Just
none.
Pretty much just
here
happy
I'm living,
to be here.
Just living my yeah. life.
And that's wild.
Put that down in my ideas book.
Yeah.
Put it on my to-do list, get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird, like, how it immediately changed the way that I was thinking about shit and the way that I kind of think about my career and the importance of shit.
Definitely.
It kind of changes shit. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, this is what it's all about. Even though I haven't met her yet. I don't know what she's going to be like, but I'm... God damn it, my tits again.
do you remember what your exact Instagram story was? It was like, I'd give whatever to shave a pound off of each of these titties.
Yeah,
I'm literally a barnyard animal.
I think I said I'd
right
make
now.
A deal with a sea witch.
Yes. I would make a deal with a sea witch to take a pound off of each of these titties. I'm a literal barnyard animal. I was fucking cackling, howling, laughing at that.
I'm just on the beach, just like. Just fucking huge, and it just feels like
spilling over.
And I'm not even halfway done. Yeah, I just keep going, oh my god, I have so long
and
to
the
go.
Worst part, you gotta go through the summer.
I know, I'm gonna be sweating.
Like, you'll be like in getting into your third trimester, midsummer,
dude,
late summer. Ugh.
The sight of my I swear to god, I really have to work on this, because it's like, it is really hard to get to watch your body just go from like one thing that you recognize to like, oh,
sure.
This is just not mine anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sharing this.
Yeah.
It sucks. You just go like, I better fucking learn to like something about myself that is like from the inside.
This.
Cause it's, you gotta start to love whoever you are.
Dangerous proposition.
Cause
you know,
it's like, this is not. This is not for the faint of heart. This is fucked up. I should have gotten a surrogate. This is absolutely bullshit. But I am trying to, like, embrace it. People are just embrace it. I'm like, you fucking embrace it. This sucks. I haven't taken a smooth shit in 5 months. Okay? I sit on the toilet and I fucking scream. I just scream every day.
That's so funny. 'Cause I was just thinking how it's funny that, like, we've kind of watched yours and Andy's relationship. Like, you guys, you were one of our first guests. You are our very first guest after the pandemic. And you and Andy had, like, kind of... You said, I think you guys had just started dating, but you were like, but we go really fast.
Yeah.
And I think your line was like, we're two recovering alcoholics. Like, everything goes in warp speed.
Yeah.
And, like, now to watch you guys pregnant. But that, the first story you told was when you're... Diva cup.
Yes.
Just on the toilet screaming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're kind of prepped for this, you know? We're kind of prepped for it.
I can't even... I would love to, like, have a camera just following around Andy.
Oh,
like it's early in the morning and the birds are chirping. He's, like, making coffee and he just hears from the bathroom, like,
he's fucking... Like, this is what's
God
so sick about it is, like, he loves it. He just loves to see me crushed by the weight of this responsibility. He loves it. He's just like, oh, is it a tough day for you? I'm just like, shut the fuck up. He like loves it.
Oh, I love it. It's great stuff. We'll have to get him in here too. So
yeah,
and you're on the road still with all this.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
I booked a tour because here's the thing. I didn't think this pregnancy was going to last. I'm just being honest. Okay, I thought this was going to be a bad 3 weeks at work. That's what I thought. So I booked a tour. And I wasn't going to tell anybody. And I was like, well, I'll lose it, probably. That's what I thought. And so I booked this whole tour.
The Chuckle
and now
Hut in Indiana? But,
yeah, probably.
Yeah, I was like, most likely. Sure, book it. I truly didn't think it was going to work out.
I'll tell you what. Your pregnancies have made me laugh. Look, Andy's joke when he told me your Christmas gift, I'm glad you're finally making good on that card.
Is such a good joke.
It's so good.
I hate him for it. It's so good. God, I wish I was like, it's just, I mean, it's the only, it's a joke that only he could tell, but it was so good that it pissed me off. I should just let him tell it, but it's like a. He goes, yeah, so my wife, for Christmas, she got me a card, and I opened up the card, and it said, congratulations, you're going to be a dad. And he's like, and then she miscarried. And she never got me another present.
Because
the whole audience just goes like, oh, and he goes, I know. And she never got me anything else. All I had was a fucking card.
He goes, I got her a Patagonia jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That special, I love that special of Mandy.
Yeah.
That one when he said, it's the same one where he's talking about going to the NASA Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then the people in the Challenger are in it, but some people who have been to space aren't.
Yeah, and they never went to space.
He's like, come on, I mean.
Space Hall of Fame.
I know. I'm like, you're such a dick. I love it.
That intro, that whole thing is great.
Yeah.
I love that special.
Yeah, he's great. He's very funny. He's a funny guy for a man.
All right, well.
Like, huh, a funny man. That's so crazy.
Don't see those often.
All right, so you can get tickets to go see Rosebud on the Road.
Yeah, come see me on the road. RosebudBaker.com. I'm everywhere this summer, pretty much.
If the writer's strike ends, SNL gets cooking again. How long do you think it's going to go?
I honestly think it's going to go.
Last one went 107 days.
I know, and that was like a much smaller list of demands. So wow. I feel like this is going to go longer than
A year?
I feel like I'm going to have a baby before I'm back at work.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's kind of nice.
Well, I'm going to have a baby before I'm back at work anyway, pretty much, because we start in October. And I think people are saying like it'll last at least 3 months, at least 100 days. And so I feel like it might last a little longer.
Yeah.
If SAG and IATSE and the DGA all join, then I think it'll be shorter. But I don't know if they're going to do that.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You heard it from Rosebud.
Well, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
No, headlines. You know, Hollywood writer says.
Just, no, no.
Yeah.
Just
big time Hollywood writer.
Pregnant idiot. Says this. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, girl.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, yeah, I mean, the Mets to me are, last year I had to actually take a step back and, like, check myself on what the Mets were doing to my life. It was, like, an unhealthy year for me because of them.
It was great,
and it was
great.
It was the best year, like,
yeah, it was
had
the best year ever.
But this goddamn fan base was, like, so many people complaining and so much negativity, and I was like, bro, we got the money, we got these players, we're having our best season ever.
Steve Cohen is the best thing that ever happened to sports.
She's the he is legitimately the best thing that ever happened to me, I think. And I got
two kids.
It goes Steve and then them.
Yeah, dude, they, like, when they were doing their push to the playoffs last year, that last series they were in Atlanta,
yeah,
I got, like, a random hit up by like some company that Steve Cohen, he wanted to host a watch party. Oh, and he was looking for somebody to host a watch party. And somehow word has gotten to them that I was like a Met fan, and they asked me if I would do it. And I had like a weekend of dates, but they paid a ridiculous amount. They were like, whatever they're paying, we'll times it by 10.
Yo.
And then I went, and it was literally just at a bar. It was literally just me drinking at a bar watching the Met game. Like, that was it. Paid. And then it would go to commercial, and I would be like, let's go. And it would be like, good job. Good, you're doing great. Yo,
that's fucking amazing. I've heard stories from Chris DiStefano, who's done he's done some actually, the story he had where his wife booked him to do – Cohen's wife.
Yeah. Oh, the holiday. His birthday or something?
And they were throwing food at him.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of like billionaire fat cats making fun of him. But yeah, I mean, Steve Cohen.
Yeah. I think Chris, I think DiStefano was a Yankee fan. I think he had to convert.
Yeah, bro. He became so cool. He became so cool with Cohen. Line right now. He's like, you know, I'm a New York guy. I'm a New York Yankees fan. But the Cohen's like, who's writing the checks these days, Chris? That's who you're a fan of.
He had to convert for sure.
I mean, I don't blame him, man.
Yeah. I remember like one time I was at the game, just randomly just bought tickets and went to see the game. And I see, and like on the Jumbotron, they just got DiStefano in a
and he's always awkward.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
I think he said he's bombed every time.
Every time they put him up there, he tries to do something funny, and it just flops miserably. Yeah. But yeah, man, Cohen and my boss Portnoy got into a little thing online like last year, arguing on Twitter. And my boss says to me, like, yo, if shit really goes down, like, whose side are you on? And I was his, dude. He's a billionaire. I'm riding with them, dude.
What does that mean? Like, if shit goes down, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I was going to say, what, are we in a street fight and I got to pick which side am I on, the Jets?
Whose tweet are you going to like?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Which person are you going to retweet, man? All right, so how old are you?
32.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been around long enough to see some heartache, and, like, so you know how fucking dark it can get as a Mets fan.
I mean, only heartache. That's all I've seen.
So I've always said, like, we are the worst generation because we're not old enough to really remember or were alive for 86.
No, I wasn't alive.
And
I seen them in the World Series twice.
So, yeah, we've seen them go, but, like, you know, so when people talk about, like, he's a Red Sox fan, so it was an 86 years, and the Cubs had 100 years. It's like, oh, that's all well and good. All I know is my entire life it hasn't happened. You know what I mean? So
100 years, I think it's better than, like, 20 years. Because 100 years is just what it is.
That's
like, it's just what it is. Right. But 20 years, they're like, no, there was a day. When
one time it happened.
I've made that argument with him. And I wonder, actually, I don't know if we've ever talked
starting to shift a little bit,
The argument I've had with him, because, again, I'm from Boston, and we're in a four-year drought now, championship-less.
Four whole years. God,
don't worry, the Bruins are going to fix it this year.
This is just a high school. This is high school.
But the analogy I would give to him, and it's very apropos because I'm a woman, I know exactly what it's like.
Sure.
But it's like when I get to the championship and we lose, it hurts more than a bad season because, like, I had a miscarriage. I'm in the third trimester.
Yeah,
I had a miscarriage.
I'm sure it's 100% like that.
Right. I'm sure that women who had miscarriages would totally agree.
You motherfuckers are just barren. Like, you know, like, you're like, yeah, it's just not happening. It's whatever. Yeah. I've painted the baby room.
Well, but here's the thing.
Boston fans they're like a joke. Like, they win like in every sport, like most of the time.
Hockey's been a little over a decade, so we're gonna fix that.
The reason why this place exists and why I've had any success is because of Boston sports having the success they had. They were selling T-shirts and game part watches, and, you know, that's why Barstool exists. So I have to, on some level, appreciate it, and I still hate it. I still root against it. It would be better for my wallet if they won, and I'm like, nope, fuck these guys. Because it became laughable.
Wait, what about this year? I get it with the Patriots. What about this year? Yeah.
Like the Bruins?
Yeah.
I'll root for the Bruins.
All right.
Yeah. I'll root for the Bruins. I cannot root for the Patriots or the Celtics. I have a thing with the Red Sox because I hate the Yankees. So Bruins, I'm all good. Red Sox, I actually like root for as long as it doesn't somehow impact the Mets.
I don't hate the Yankees.
Oh, no. We were going so good, bro. We had a thing going.
I don't hate them. Like, I just don't care about them.
I fucking hate them. They're not even in our league.
Did you see that tweet yesterday?
No.
The Costco? Costco. There's like nine franchises or something like that who sell their tickets at Costco, It's all the poverty franchises. It's the Giants. It's the A's. It's the Brewers. It's the
all the Texas, broke boys.
Texas Rangers. It's fucking the Marlins. I forget a couple of teams, Rays. Yeah. And then the Yankees. And I was like,
I couldn't believe it.
Poor motherfuckers.
Yeah. It's nice being the rich boys in town. That's a whole new world.
The, do you really, if you really think about it, do you really hate the Yankees or do you hate the fans?
The fans, yes. Fans. But, okay. So.
You could even extrapolate.
Because there's teams where I hate, but I don't know their fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, it becomes, I actually hate Italians. I hate loudmouth Italians. They're always, I mean, I grew up in the Bronx as a Mets fan, so I was behind enemy lines my whole life.
Yeah.
So every fucking, that's why I hate the new kid. The new I didn't realize this.
Volpe.
He's a 21-year-old Italian from Hoboken who
it's
like
all, it's I mean
so he's one of those fans we've been making fun of. He now is their shortstop. Yeah. I was like, this might be my final boss. This is my final like the guy I got.
Italian guy's dream. I'm like, I'm a Dominican from Queens, so we cheered for the Mets and Boston because there were so many Dominicans in Boston. Yeah, they had Manny and they had Big Poppy.
Yeah.
So that was like the thing. But I like Yankees is like whatever. Like we haven't competed against them.
You're a bigger man than I am because I just fucking
You hate the people. It's the people.
I do, yeah. And I don't want them to be happy, and so then I have to hate the players because I'm like, I need you guys to lose too.
I'm a New York dude though. Like I'm really New York.
I know. I just don't get that though, man. To me, it's like I just grew up. It's one or the other, and if you're not the other, you gotta fucking hate the other one. Yeah. Come to the dark side, man. Come on.
I can't, man. I'm just too New York. Yeah. I just like, I mean, obviously.
So don't tell me you root for the Yankees.
No, I'm not rooting for them. I'm not rooting for them. But, like, I remember, like, watching them when they went against the Astros a couple times. Like, I was watching the game. I wasn't cheering for the Astros. Like, why would I cheer for Houston?
Because fuck the Yankees. That's why, man.
That's why.
And I watch it among Yankees fans, but I'll just watch and I'll just be like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I don't care about the Yankees. Like, I don't really actively root against them because there was a time like 03, 02, 03, like that shit was in Boston. The Sox would do better ratings than the Pats would at that time, and the Pats were two-time Super Bowl champs.
Yeah,
and like those like an 03 fucking April game against the Rays would like outrate a Pats game.
Yeah,
and not that the Pats were playing at the time, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And I you know we won a few Super Bowl series, and I was like, all right, like whatever, who gives a fuck. And then 2 years ago, maybe, whatever, the same series, probably. Yankees-Astros. I was just watching at a bar. Like, who gives a shit? Whatever. Astros went deep in, like, the eighth, and I was on the bar. I was like,
yeah!
Fuck these guys!
Yeah.
Even if you try to
cheating the whole time, using the clickers.
Dude, I don't give a shit how they do it.
Dude, I think I'm, like, just a good loser. Like, I just lost my whole life and everything. So I think I'm just, like, losing is, like, pretty. Like, you ever meet those guys who's like, Michael, you're like, I can't lose. Yeah. And I'm like, why not? Why can't you lose?
Bro,
it's not that different from winning, to be honest. If you really think about it, it's not that different.
Keep going. I like this. Talk more. So,
it's just you lose, and then you just continue living. Your life just continues. You just go home and do kind of what you would have done if you won. It's not that. I went to the World Baseball Classic in Miami. Uh-huh. I was just there watching the Dominican Republic. Uh-huh. And we lost the first game to Venezuela, and then we won the next two. We beat Israel, and then we beat, I forgot the other team. Oh, and Nicaragua, I think. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then we lost to Puerto Rico. And literally every day, winning and losing, there was no difference.
Yeah.
There was a party, like, leaving the stadium. People were happy. Like, yep. It's no difference. You really think about it.
There was someone who said, I forget who that first athlete to ever say it was, but it's been said a million times since, I hate losing more than I like winning. And I'm like, oh, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, no way.
Like, I do have fun winning. It is fun to celebrate and all that. Like, I don't really hate losing. It's whatever.
Dude, that Mamba mentality, I'm anti. I'm like, listen, man, it's fun to play the game.
That's what it's about. Mamba mentality only works if you're fucking Kobe Bryant.
If you're Kobe, yeah.
Otherwise, you're just a dick.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, yo, relax, man.
And even Kobe,
he was a dick.
He was a dick. Yeah. Like, he was known. His teammates didn't love him at the time. Yeah, yeah. If he wasn't winning, he wasn't a pleasant guy.
It's like having the guy in the office who's like an overachiever or the student who tries too hard. It's like, ugh. Yeah. You don't talk about the Mamba mentality for the guy who like studies hard for the test.
Yeah. Right.
You hate that kid. You know?
Yeah.
Did I read you were originally going to try to be a lawyer before coming?
Yeah.
How far along in that process?
Lost
did you
in
get?
That. Lost in that. I got my bachelor's, my undergrad in political science and economics. I was pre-law, and then I studied for the LSATs, and I took the LSATs, and I applied to some schools, and then just never followed.
Okay, all right. So what made you flip the switch?
I just feel like, to be honest, if, when I look back at it, if I wanted to be a lawyer, I feel like I could have. I could have just went to law school. I kind of did well in school. But I was just like, I'm not going, like, I don't really care about this that much. Mm-hmm. And then I found comedy and I was like, I really do care about this. So let me just try to do something I care about.
How'd you find comedy?
I was just always a fan. And actually, I remember being in college and they did like a comedy competition and Chris DiStefano was like the pro comic. He was like very fairly new at the time, like 3 years in, but he was like the headliner to close out the student competition. And I just watched him like just murder like at school. And I was just like, man, I would want to do, I want to do that. That seems so cool.
We've interviewed more comics and gotten more into this world, I started to go to more shows and see more specials and all that stuff. And I don't know, growing up a sports fan, I always thought, like, there's nothing better than a big hit or a big basket or a big touchdown in the moment in front of these fans. And then when you see somebody crush on stage and you watch, like, a whole club, arena or a fucking stadium, like, in the palm of their hands, I don't know if there's anything better than that.
I mean, I would say still a walk-off home run.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I think
at home
always kind of sticks with me is a crack of the bat. You know it's gone.
Especially now where like nuts. You could talk shit. Remember like the old school baseball, you were supposed to be modest. Now you just take the bat, throw it into the stands, and get the finger to the pitcher, and then run to third. That shit is like, that is the best.
You know, Brian McCann waiting to murder you in the parking
lot. I feel like that is like the way to go. For so long, like baseball was just like, you play it this way, you do it this way, and it got so boring people stopped watching.
Yeah,
the pitch clock's unbelievable, bro. These games are
I love
moving,
it. I love it.
Is the light show, is that a Fenway thing or is that a baseball thing? I thought I saw
the lights
else,
like lighting up their home runs. Yankee Stadium does it too.
There's a couple stadiums that have every stadium has like kind of their own thing, like the City Field has the Apple.
Milwaukee,
I made fun of the first year of Fenway fucking light.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
in Milwaukee there's like the mascot goes down the slide.
Yeah, I like that though. And the Apple has history. I like the slide. I don't, the lights to me,
Houston has something too.
The one place that has the train.
The train. I think that's Kansas City.
No, Pittsburgh.
That's Houston. Houston, right? Houston has
the
train?
Yeah. The
train is cool. That's it.
I first saw, because I'd never seen it, I guess. I've watched a lot less baseball recently. And I saw it happen at Fenway on opening day or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's new. That's kind of cool. And people fucking hated it, obviously.
Yeah. That's so tradition over there.
I like it. I like everyone having their own thing. I like the Apple. Oh, I like the slide.
Too. The lights kind of feels other lazy. People,
it feels like, if everyone's doing lazy. If just Fenway was doing it, I'd like it.
Yeah.
If it's happening, because I saw a highlight from some other stadium. I was like, wait, they do lights too? Yeah. That's why I didn't know if it was across all baseball. But I like having your own thing, your own celebration. Yeah.
I also, Fenway's still so old school. I think their thing would be like, until one day, I don't know when, they're going to have to knock it down and make a new one eventually. Yeah. And until then, they should be like the we are old.
Fenway does have that shit too, where like it really is. I don't know if you've ever been to a game there, but like when I go, it's still like you walk in like, oh, there's the Sistine Chapel.
Which is nice. I like that. I like that in baseball. Tradition is important, especially in baseball. Totally. It's like a traditional sport.
And I'm not that kind of guy, but when I walk up the ramp and I see the field, I'm like, oh, there is like the feeling too.
I've still never gotten to Fenway. Did we go to Fenway? Have we gone to Fenway?
No.
Dude, but these young guys, the way they play, when you come from like a third world country with no water, the way they play, it's just
thing about like WBC was like seeing how other countries celebrate. Like, oh,
that's insane.
They have fun at the game?
Dude, that's insane. I mean, I went to Mets playoff. I've been to the playoff game, a baseball playoff game. Never been to a World Series, but the energy doesn't compare.
Yo, listen, you get down to Miami and you get a ton of Puerto Ricans or Dominicans in the spot watching baseball and big shit happens, it's going to be a fucking scene.
Right. Yeah, and this is the second time I went. Last time I went to Miami, then I went to San Diego and watched DR play USA. And it's also not like, sometimes you go see, I've been to like Yankees Boston where it's like, you're like, is there gonna be a fight in the audience? Like, this is not that. Like,
so you root for the Dominican or US?
Yeah, I root for the Dominican, but I mean, I was Japan. I don't want to. I mean, clearly USA is the best. Yeah. Like, that's like if USA sent,
if we sent the pitchers,
it's lights out. Yeah, so. It's no competition. Clearly USA is the best. But for like a country like DR, like the country shuts down for this.
Yeah.
Like this is everything. Like they wait for this. They prepare. Like there's
all right. So let me ask you this then. So you're a Mets fan.
Yeah.
When Edwin Diaz broke his leg, I was like, "Fuck the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. I hate this shit.
Yeah.
My season is now ruined."
Sure.
So you like the World Baseball Classic? You want the Dominican to win? It's not the same because he played for Puerto Rico, not the Dominican. But like, let's say this. What if the Dominican team won the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah.
But then this season we missed the playoffs because of Edwin Diaz being out? Where would
you fall? Well, I mean, as far as Edwin Diaz's injury, that could have happened in the shower.
I know, but it happened at the World Baseball Classic.
He would have been could have happened in spring training. He would have been in spring. It's not like he wouldn't have been playing. Like the guys are playing at this time, right? So it's like a weird argument to be like, don't go to this. It's like, so it's okay if I get hurt in Port St. Lucie, but if I do it in this grand stage,
at least he was doing something for the team. At spring training versus something for another team.
Altuve got hurt too. He was out for like two months.
Yeah. It is
crazy.
Some
big names to go down.
Yeah. I mean, Edwin, there's no one bigger than that. That was
the one guy I feel like we couldn't lose.
If it's like a line drive that hits him in the face, then I'm like.
Sure. The celebrating. Baseball players, all of them are so soft. They're always getting injured. I mean, who am I to talk, but it seems like they're always getting injured in the most ridiculous ways.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. But I did feel that way as a Met fan originally, but I just know what it means to these countries. Like these countries literally wait, like, because, you know, they watch, like, the MLB, but they're not invested like we are because they don't have a team because some guy from their town plays for that team.
Right.
But this is where they could, like, root and against, like, the world. It's like the World Cup.
Right. Yeah. It's funny to like comparing like rooting for your team. Like whenever someone from the area makes the Red Sox, it's like the biggest deal, and they always
hometown kid.
Yeah. It's like it's never a good player.
No.
If you had some monster like a Volpe,
well, that's why LeBron ended up doing in Cleveland is the craziest thing that's ever happened in sports.
Yeah,
for like that for that level of player to go to his hometown via the draft initially is like the stars could not have aligned more.
I go the opposite. I'm like, every player should be forced to go. So like that, everyone could get hurt. Yeah. It's like, it's unfair when teams keep back their star and then our star goes. Everyone should have a fair shot of getting injured.
That's a great call.
In the U.S., in the Olympics, I think the NHL players are going back. But there was one Olympics, I think, where the NHL players didn't go. And it does lose all the juice.
You need the stars.
When they don't go,
Yeah, you're like, I don't know the college players. I don't really follow it. So, you still get up with hockey. It's USA versus Russia. You still get up USA versus Canada and a little bit. But it's like, I don't know. If you remember the, what was it, 2016, whatever Olympics it was with TJ Oshie versus Alex Ovechkin in a shootout. Like, this is fucking
nuts. Right?
It's like, this is Captain America versus insane. Versus Drago.
Yeah, it's insane. And also, if you're like a fan of sport, it's just good. I mean, I heard like Trey Turner and Mookie Betts talking about it where they were just like, they both played in World Series. They're like,
I don't believe them. I've been there.
I've never been to the World Series.
In a World Series game and like win a World Series.
Well, these are single game eliminations. So it would be game seven. So it would be game seven of World
into that game.
But even in Miami, like when USA played Japan, like it's obviously USA's home, but it's still a lot of Japanese people there. So it's
they travel.
So when like DR played Miami, DR played Venezuela, it was like half DR, half Venezuela. So it's like, and it's also no beef. Like I remember like they'll take out let's say Israel, like we were punching Israel by like we were up like 8, right? And like Israel like took out the pitcher and like he still got like a standing ovation, like everybody just stand up like like, you know, you're doing this for your country, like like it's no like animosity like Yankees Boston where they're like fuck Rivera, you know, like,
I mean listen, for Team Israel it's like, it's almost like, good job, guys. Good job.
that's like super fun that I can imagine that atmosphere. But I went to a game recently. I went to my first soccer game over in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that has a threat of violence at all times.
Yes.
That's also really fun. When you're like,
one extreme or the other.
There might be a riot.
Right.
Like, those guys people are setting fires in the stands.
Yeah,
like,
I never
understood. When they win.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Like playing video games, like I used to play like Madden or 2K. it's the most shit talking, and then you lose, and you're just like, yeah.
Right. Yo, video games brings a lot of bad out in people, man.
Yeah, it does.
Video
especially
games,
the sports one, I feel
yo,
like.
That's where people will be the most racist, sexist, evil. This guy, he has one day a year, he tries to play video games, and he just gets fucking waxed by like an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's just done.
So bad. It's like, I bought Xbox 360. I think maybe it was Xbox One, whatever. Because Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights was in a commercial.
Yeah.
An animated version of him, not even him. And I was like, I got to get this if Tim Riggins has it. And I was an adult man at the time. And I started playing Madden. I didn't even finish the first game. Like, it lets you play a game while it's loading.
Yeah.
And it was Pat's Seahawks Super Bowl, so it was right after that. And I was like, this sucks. I'm down 70 in the first.
Yeah.
And then I put on, like, Tony Hawk. I couldn't beat the first level. And I was like, all right.
Shit's hard, man.
I was like, I'll do Call of Duty. I'll get this fucking headset on. And the kids were just so mean, dude. Yeah. Like crazy, crazy mean. Like, I've been victims of many a hate crime. People think I'm Jewish. It's misguided. But like, I had hockey camps where kids would just slide like swastikas under the door. And, college. I'm not Jewish. I'd be like, you guys are attacking the wrong person.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
For the other
it's
side,
Arlie down the hall. Yeah.
And, you're like, I'm on your side.
Let's get him.
I played video games like growing up, like with my boys. We always high school. We used to play, and then I stopped playing them because you grow up,
you become an adult.
Yeah. But then the pandemic hit, and I was like, I bought a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I bought MLB The Show. So we started playing. We started a league, but we stopped doing the headset because it would just get too vicious. So we were just like, let's just play, and then we'll talk after after the game is done. Because you don't want to
fucking adult grown man.
Yeah, adult, all of us in our 30s. We're like, fuck your mother.
Yo, there's something about video game hours too. Like, you can blow through 6 hours playing video games, and it feels like it was been 45 minutes.
Dude, during the pandemic, I mean, we were playing at least 10 hours.
It's nuts.
Really? 10 hours. We had a baseball league, like a baseball tournament. It was like 8 of us. So it's just, you play each other 5 times a season and the playoffs start. So it was just, and it was like, we had nothing else. I mean, I had no comedy. Yeah. There was nothing. Some people went out.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, some people
went
out.
You got a good crew of friends.
Yeah, it became successful, but I didn't do any of that. I played MLB The Show. I got really good at that. Completely misread the whole thing.
Again, you know,
we're gonna be telling.
Lost again. Yeah, I lost on the pandemic again.
We telling our grandkids like no, the pandemic was scary. Like, people were dying. You couldn't go outside. Like, what'd you do? Like, we played a lot.
Yeah, I had a 1.7 ERA. That's what I had. That's what I had.
I ask two no hitters, motherfucker.
Ask your uncles about me.
like it sounds like it was great. Like, no, it was awful. Like, it sounds awesome.
Yeah,
you're right. It was kind of awesome.
If it wasn't for the widespread death, it was fucking fun, man.
Right, dude? And I had just moved into my own apartment too, because there was no sports neither on TV. So like, you couldn't watch sports. It's all we had. So we were playing it like it was actual. And then we found Twitch. So on Twitch, you could watch the other people play in our league. So it would be like a friend. Two of my friends are like, all right, we're going to play at 8. And then you have
an audience.
Put it on Twitch. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
And you're watching two of your friends play like it's real sports.
Are your friends married and shit or single or what?
All of us were single. Like, one of them lived with his girl, so that would always be a thing you'd hear in the background. Like, don't you grow up?
Yeah.
I am an adult. but we were all like just single dudes, kind of just playing at home, living alone during the pandemic. Yeah, no type of like.
God, it was great.
And I mean,
go outside. Tell Fauci to let me.
Right.
Not allowed. I have to play video games 12 hours a day. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to fucking do it.
I mean, in hindsight, like, it honestly, obviously, in the time, you're just so scared of like what's happening. And every day you go on Facebook, you see somebody else lost somebody and so many people dying, especially in New York. So we didn't like realize what that time in our lives was, that 6 months to a year and a half. But in hindsight, I'm like, yo, that was, aside from all the other things, that was like a cool time of just being kids as adults.
You all of a sudden just didn't have
the government
the same
was just
level
paying
of responsibility.
Us.
I mean, it, obviously, if you lost your business and all that, of course, yes, and you lost your life.
Sure.
But for the people who were just like, it's like a snow day forever now?
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah.
And I completely lost my business. I didn't have an actual business, but I made no income for the whole time, and I couldn't get money from the thing. I was kind of just living off my savings.
Yeah.
And even that, and I lost family members to COVID, but even that, still kind of fun.
My family's dead. I got no money. But again, 1.7 ERA. Yeah,
that was sick, dude. I did that with the Nationals, dude. Insane. It's never been seen before. Insane. I made the World Series with the Nationals.
That's fucking hilarious, man. Yeah. So you picked up comedy relatively late then, huh? If you were in law school?
Nah, I mean, I started when I was 20. That was just like right around that time.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, right around junior year, I started. And I, like I said, I'm from New York. I went to school in Long Island, SUNY Old Westbury. Mm-hmm. But I used to come home in the summer, and I came home the summer between junior and senior year. And I just found an open mic here in the city, and I just went to it. Mm-hmm. I just like wrote some jokes that I thought would be funny, and I just went to it. And then from performing, I was like, this is sick. This is like a cool thing.
Were you always like the funny dude in your group that like people, you know, kind of
Like, but you know, like when you're in high school, it kind of seems like, especially if you're funny, it seems like all your boys are funny too, right? Yeah. Like if you're funny, it seems like everyone around you is funny.
I always think, I'm like, yo, my friends are the funniest people on the planet. Same. I swear to God. But you think that and he thinks that.
Same,
it's like,
same.
I think people are funny. Same. You know?
And I appreciate, like, I went to school in Queens and it was like a Catholic school and they were nationally ranked in basketball. It was Christ the King.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball powerhouse. But mostly white school. But it was 2004 to 2008. Like, I appreciate the fact that, like, I remember in 2015, like, when there was, like, an election cycle or whatever, I was like, damn, it's so crappy that, like, everything, regardless of who you vote for, I don't care, but everything is, like, a race thing. And I was like, when I was in high school, it was none of that. Like, just in that bubble that we lived in, it was no, like, the white girls would invite all the black kids to their Sweet 16. At a white Sweet 16, there'd be a black table full of black basketball players. And it was fine. Like, you never saw nothing. And I was like, damn, we got lucky that we got in before that. Because I was like, if I would have been in school during 2015 to 2020, I feel like it would not have been that smooth.
I can't even imagine what schools are like if kids are on social media or even or get what's going on social media.
Right. Right.
They're probably,
because you're kind of conditioned. When you're so young, I feel like, especially in New York, I'm sure other places are different. In New York, you see so many minorities, so you're not, you don't have that.
You're just around it your whole life.
Unless your parents, like, embedded in you.
Unless you got racist parents, which a lot of us do.
Right. Which that's fair too. But a lot of the kids were like, oh, that's my parent. My parents are racist, but, like, I kind of don't care. You know, it's kind of cool. But that was just such a fun time, dude, because, like, it would be like, I would hang out with, like, the whitest dude. Dude, like, there was, I don't know if I should say this, but there was a dude in my high school who, in hindsight, was a legit Nazi. Like, he was a real Nazi.
How so?
He hated Jews. So? No, like, dude, he was like a skinhead, like swastika tattoo.
And you didn't know it at the time? What is this in hindsight?
But because I don't know. Like, I just, like, he was cool. Like, like he was just a cool dude.
2K,
dude,
man.
Yeah, like he was a cool dude. But like looking back at it, he hated Jews, blacks, but he just pretended that he didn't, I guess, in school. And he would just hang out. Like, he would hang out with the black
kids.
What
happened? So then, like, you graduate and shit, and
I remember graduating and then you graduate and then you become like more aware. And then I remember going back on his Facebook, and then you see him with these like all skinheads with like swastikas like thing, and I'm like, that was my friend. I'm like, that's insane,
bro. That is hilarious,
dude. I remember one time. I mean, I guess we got
the worst
school.
Judgment of people ever, bro.
Well, I think the teachers too, because the teachers could have been better at like, hey,
yeah,
this guy,
guy's a Nazi.
Like, I understand he's trying to be fair, but this guy is clearly not.
Motherfucker
like
had a Derek Vineyard tattoo. You're like, I think he might have been.
Dude, I remember.
He kept it pretty secret.
I remember being like 15 years old and this dude like talking to me and being like, yeah, like, you know, like the Holocaust, they're exaggerating about that, like there wasn't as many as they're saying. And I'm like, alright, you know, I didn't know like that was like a talking point for them. And I'm like, but looking back, I'm like, this is insane. This dude was like, he hated me, everyone, like he hated everyone, but he did a great job of like pretending that, like, dude,
this is the best argument I've ever heard, where the trope, the like when someone gets called doing something racist, they're like, I got black friends. And everyone's like, that's not a proof you're not racist. I was like, well, kinda. And now I'm second guessing that.
Not only did he have black friends, but he was kind of like, he kind of like catered toward them. Like he would like give them stuff. Like he was like,
he gave us like free train rides.
Yeah, he was like count on me. Like whatever you need, count on me. I got you. But yeah, but I wonder what.
One thing with old people, when you're young and a Nazi, man, like that. I know a guy who's a doctor, and
you and Goebbels.
So this guy, they had like a Zoom like convention for all the doctors in their field, and this old dude turned his fucking screen on and had a full blown red fucking swastika flag just hanging in his living room.
Yeah,
and everyone was like. You know, Dr. Smith, you need to turn your camera off and also probably leave the Zoom and maybe the industry as well.
What was this?
Crazy. Yeah, it was like.
Did he forget that he had that?
I guess so. Or he didn't realize his camera was on or whatever.
It's just so part of my day to day life. I forget these things sometimes.
Yeah, like, I guess, yeah, just blends in. Like, oh, that's a Nazi flag. But he was like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get how that can happen. But the young kid, Jesus.
Dude, I mean, I think we were just too naive to. It and the teachers didn't do a good job of being like, hey, this kid is not.
Yo, those teachers were like, going home going, babe, like, I gotta tell you something.
Yeah, like he was
in my history class, there's a fucking Nazi.
He's
being weirdly nice.
Yeah,
the nicest Nazi ever.
Dude, it's insane. It's like really insane when I think about it. Like, how
do you know where he's at now?
No, probably, I mean, in jail for January 6th, I assume. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
He's outside the courthouse right now.
Yeah, no, protesting.
Riding protesting for his boy in downtown.
Dude, I don't know what happened to him, but I remember speaking to my boys later. Like, I don't know why we were just so naive. Because it was a Catholic school, so I guess it was just kind of like a love fest. You're just kind of like, oh, cool. But I remember talking to my boys later, like, this dude. And they were like, yeah, I think he won.
there is something about back then. And I don't know if it's the time period or just the age. Maybe this happens for everybody. But, like, you're just not thinking.
Yeah.
You don't think about any of this shit.
Yeah.
I mean? Unless you have parents who are really educating you or teachers who are really talking about it. You're just like,
you're not.
I don't know.
About
I don't like that guy because he's, like, a dick to me on the playground. And I do like that guy because we like the same sports. That's
you,
it.
You
That's
also,
fucking it, you know?
You're so impressionable that, like, if one person tells you something – like, you got out. You were lucky to be like, okay, about the Holocaust thing?
Yeah.
Like, I had a buddy who...
You could have been a Nazi, too.
Yeah. I had a buddy who taught me, who should not taught me because I didn't listen, but he showed me, was it Spare Change?
Yeah,
Loose Change.
Loose change. And I went home, and I, like, told him, I was like, Mom and Dad, this is...
Yeah. Have you heard about this shit?
There's some crazy shit going down in the government.
Yeah.
They're like, you fucking idiot. Go to your room.
Yeah.
And they not
now it's the opposite. Now the parents believe in the change, and the kids have to be like, get off the internet.
Yeah.
Get off the internet, Mom.
It is wild that it happened with the parents where it's like your whole life – those parents were the same people who were like, be careful on the internet.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's strangers on the internet. People lie on the internet, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you went home for Thanksgiving in college, and you're like,
yeah.
What happened to all the lessons you taught me?
Facebook really took over them.
My parents got scammed out of some money recently.
Really?
And they were like, we got hacked. I was like, you motherfuckers didn't get hacked.
Yeah.
You gave up your information to the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like, this was somebody, like, a true blue scam. And they're like, okay, here's the bank account.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not getting hacked.
Yeah, I mean, they just see the Facebook. They just believe, like, every news story up on Facebook.
The devil, dude. Yeah. That shit is.
I've like, separated my – I just assume everything's a lie now.
Yeah.
And
like, that's like, smart. The best way.
It really is.
Like, just everything's a lie.
But fake it till proven real is the way to operate.
Don't tell my accountant that.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday texted me, she's like, I need your information. I haven't noticed the emails. Like, you need to talk to me. I don't trust anyone
who is this?
Else.
Is this the deep state?
Yeah.
I know what you did on 9/11.
Dude, my accountant hit me with, she had like, I'm going to see how many exclamation points there were in it. It was need your fucking stuff. We've sent you.
I was going to say, you're cutting
four.
Close, brother.
It was four. John, we still need your tax documents.
My accountant
your assistant sent an email then.
He ghosted me. Yeah, he told me he was on vacation, and then I ran into him at the supermarket.
No.
I swear, the same day that he sent me an email saying he was on vacation, I ran into him at the supermarket. Like, I saw him, and then I hid because I didn't want things to be weird between us.
Bro.
So, like, I saw him, and I went into, the other thing.
That is how you are. You fit in right perfectly. Like, most people would be like, excuse me.
Yeah, no.
What the fuck? Instead, I'm like, oh, my God, that guy is such a piece of shit liar. I gotta hide.
Yeah, I gotta hide. And then you pretend. then he comes back. I'm like, how was your vacation?
But so you did run into him?
Yeah. No, and I saw like, him, but then I left.
You didn't have any.
But then weeks later, I'm like, oh, are you back from vacation? Yeah. I mean, I needed my taxes done. I can't start over.
That is fucking great.
One thing that I like that's weird to me is like, even with that dude, like in high school, like how, because he used to hang out with us and it was fine. Like, and I went to Catholic school, but there was Catholics, there was Jewish people, there was like a mixture of everything, obviously mostly Catholic, but he used to hang out with everyone and not have a problem with anyone. So how do you like go to school and see everyone being cool and then go home and be like, yeah, but I hate
fuck
him.
I mean, that's some weird parenting shit going on too. Yeah. There. Like if you almost feel bad when it's a kid like that, cause someone's putting that in his brain.
For sure. But now like, damn. Dude, like I remember, I mean, now he would just have been kicked out of school now.
Yeah,
but like
yeah,
I remember, this is like early Facebook days. I remember he would have pictures like of him in his basement with like skinheads and guns, like big guns here in New York. Yeah, he just put it on Facebook.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's like a prequel to Columbine.
Right. That's like, insane. That's insane. Like it would never have. It would never slide now. I mean, back then it would be like crazy. He's fun.
Yeah. He's just, well, zany old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Timmy or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like I just didn't think about anything back then. I didn't, and I still don't really know. I'm not very informed about politics, and as far as like I don't know foreign relations and what other countries are doing, it's like. I know whatever they taught me in the history books at school, and I'm not saying that's a good thing to go through life just being like an ignorant dummy.
Yeah.
But you know the people out here, it's almost like because there's almost so much fake shit out there. It's like people trying to be informed and learn. It's like you're almost the worst because you're reading propaganda and fake shit. And it's like
if you want to get like real, you got to like jailbreak your phone if you want to get like real news.
How do you learn now? Like you can't trust the news, you can't trust the articles you read, even the books that write. Like it's like who out here is telling the truth? Fucking nobody, man.
Nobody. Which like I mean it's just what it is now, which if you embrace it, it's kind of nice. You could just make up your own reality.
That's almost what people used to do is just like I married this person, we live in this bubble, here's our beliefs, that's good, bad or otherwise, but that's just it. No, we don't fuck with other people, they don't fuck with us.
Yeah,
we need a lot more ignorance and segregation. Everybody just stay to their own shit.
My platform, and vote for me 2024. Separate but equal.
That's fucking hilarious.
Dude, I travel. It's so funny. Like, I travel all over the country, and every time I meet people, like, 99% of the time, no matter what their political views are or what they think, like, people generally are cool. Yeah. Like, in person.
Bro, it's
like,
the internet. It's like, the fucking computers and the internet. Like, in person, even if you disagree, it's even cool. If they're a Nazi, apparently, it's cool.
I met a full QAnon lady. She was, like, a waitress at a club, and she was full QAnon, and she was, like, spewing her QAnon stuff, but I was like, but she's nice.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's nice. She's like, can I get you anything else, honey? Right. Like, Biden is an alien. And I'm like, give me a vodka soda.
It is almost like kind of what we were talking about earlier with, like, the fucking boxing and shit.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, like in Congress and shit, like, all right.
Yeah, we disagree.
I'm going to make a speech to you about tonight, and then I'm going to motherfuck you pretty good.
Yeah.
But
oh, in Congress for sure.
Yeah. But then tomorrow, you'll get on fucking MSNBC. I'll get on Fox News.
And then guess what? We all write our books. Yeah. We all do our speaking engagements. Yeah. And we all just fucking make all this money. Yeah.
I'd be impressed sometimes because I was a political science major. When you find these like political movers and shakers who have to like some they do something and they have to go on TV and like defend it like with a straight face. Like, they don't smile. Like they don't laugh. Like the interviewer is looking at them like, "Are you serious?" Yeah.
Like, they're the greatest actors on the planet.
Yeah, it's so fun around.
Yeah. Homeboy from Long Island, George Santos, the guy who's lied about literally everything.
Like, yeah, he was
at the race, his sexuality, his fucking job, his politics, all of it is a lie.
Yeah.
Every single thing is a lie.
Yeah.
And he's just like back up at Congress the next day. Like, I'm here for work.
Yeah. Did you see his
Mets video?
No.
Bro, this guy.
No.
It is the most awkward.
I think lying for yourself is okay. It's like, I can see that. But when you have to lie for somebody else just because you know the job that's waiting for you when they get elected,
that's funny.
That's funny.
Bro, this is him. On opening day, trying to like rep the team.
Hey guys, today is opening day. As a good old Mets fan, I know you guys aren't going to be playing until April 6th back home, but in good old fashion, let's go Mets!
Who has ever Let's go, Mets!
It's like reading off a teleprompter. Couldn't even memorize that part.
In good old fashioned, let's go, Mets! I love this guy. I can't get enough of him. We should get him on the show. I bet we can get this motherfucker on the podcast.
For sure.
He's open to anything.
I don't even care about him because he's just like, whatever. Maybe he's out of his mind. Whatever. He lives in his own world.
Yeah.
But he has a chief of staff who studied politics and is like a legitimate scholar, probably, who worked their way up. And they have to defend us. Like, they sign up for, like, he said, what? Okay.
That's one of those things that like reminds me of Veep, where they have like there's like Dan Egan and there's Amy whatever her name is,
yeah.
But like they'll have like, because they're two chiefs of staff, if you haven't seen the show, and they'll be like, I'm not taking the job to be Jonah's chief of staff.
They're, yeah,
like, think about it, if you lose, of course you lost, who cares? If you get Jonah Ryan elected,
you're the greatest of all time.
You have any job you want. Like, yeah. Oh, good point.
Yeah, if you can make George Santos like successful at all, yeah, you're a fucking wizard.
Yeah, that's
dude.
What they do. Like, they don't last long. Like, Secretary of Press, like, they don't last long. They'll just do like a year,
yeah,
and then they'll go and make $500,000 working for like whatever corporation, just because you're like, oh, I used to defend Trump, and they're like, oh, yeah, we want you.
This person's good. I almost want to interview Santos and treat him like it's all real. Like, so tell me about your mom dying on 9/11. And that's after your grandparents died in the Holocaust? Oh, my
Jesus.
God.
Checks off all the boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it's comical, man.
And it's all a lie.
And all of it is a lie. He said his mom died on 9/11, and then he has a tweet on December 23rd saying it's the anniversary of my mom's death. He said his grandparents either died or escaped the Holocaust. Just flat out not true. He said he worked for Goldman Sachs. Never happened. He said.
And what does he say when people ask him?
I don't
talk
know.
Talk to my chief of staff.
Probably. I don't know if I've seen any interviews or anything where people flat out confront him.
Yeah. Because that's another move. Is like, you could just lie, and when you do interviews, be like, don't bring this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people just agree to that.
Yeah, and they'll
just
be like, all right. Yeah.
Cool. Yo, I hate, like, we'll do it now and then for a guest where it's like, don't talk about my divorce, don't talk about this scandal. And I'm kind of like, all right, I want to get you for this interview, so okay.
Yeah.
But in what world do you get to just do some fucked up shit and then be like, don't talk about it?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah. That
sounds good.
Cool.
Why? Because I don't want you to. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm going to lie.
I don't want to be caught. I will tell you it didn't happen anyway.
In a lie. Yeah. That's pretty sick, though. If you think about, like, when your celebrity,
so
like,
dope.
Is so big, you get to choose what to speak
so
to.
So dope.
Like, yeah, that's pretty cool. You just be like, hey, don't bring that up, man. I lied about that.
Or even if you do, it's just like, it doesn't matter. We've seen the most important people get caught in the most compromising of situations and doing the most foul shit.
Yeah.
And they just go like, nah, that's not a big deal. Let me talk to you about this, though.
Yeah.
And boom. And yeah. People just, you know, some people will yell about it, but more people will ride with you. It's just, if there's one thing that, like, Trump and that whole era taught me, no matter what your politics are, it's like, just stick to your story. And fucking keep going.
Yeah.
And people have enough people riding with you that it doesn't matter. You know?
That was the big thing. No, it doesn't. You could just keep talking. Like, you could just keep talking. Just keep saying just things. Keep and saying eventually, it. They're like, people's brains like, what did I ask?
Yes.
Like, just keep saying.
Because you know
things.
What it is? It's like 90% of people are fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, 10%
blame it on Hillary. Will, it's like, you just get everything. Just keep.
But the emails.
It's like,
well,
yeah.
What? Okay.
And you're like, I guess emails. Yeah. I hate my emails. So.
It's amazing. Man.
It's great, though.
It's snake it till you make it, dude.
Yeah. Like, it's very American.
Yeah.
It really is. Like that. That's our culture. That's our shit right there.
Yeah. If
liars,
you can, like,
cheats.
Separate yourself from, like, the political things about it and look at it, like, objectively, like, this is pretty interesting. Yeah. And you're just completely lying.
Oh, the whole
And you're wearing a suit. Like, you're wearing a. You're not like us. Like, we're like,
clothes,
like we're lying. They're like, all right, whatever. Yeah,
you guys, like, you look like a liar.
Yeah, you guys are wearing a full suit. Yeah.
Fucking hilarious, dude.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So you got a special on HBO Max, right?
Yes, it's called Romantic Comedy. It's on HBO
That's great.
Max, yeah.
I saw the clip of you talking about how meeting people online is now like the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is... you know, there's some humor in that, but there also is some truth where it's like you do everything else on the internet. You find, you do all your shopping, get all your information right or wrong on it. Why would you also not find the people you want to fuck or date, you know?
Sure, yeah. That's like an old bit I did on The Tonight Show, like the first time I did it. And there was like in 2019, but I remember like writing that like in 2016, where at that time, like Tinder had came out like years before and it was still new. So you would ask people in the audience, like, how'd you meet? And they would be like kind of embarrassed to say it. Yeah. Totally. But then I saw it like change where they was like, how'd you meet? And they were like, Tinder.
Yeah.
Like
now
they got like empowered. Like Tinder, that's where I meet people. I'm Tinder, I'm normal. So I kind of, that's how like that bit came. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, also meeting online is also, in a way, I find it more safe than meeting somebody in person. Like, to go to a bar, meet a stranger, not get their Instagram, their Facebook, their TikTok, you don't know nothing about them and go home, that's crazy.
Yo, the amount of girls who would just go out and be like, let's get intoxicated.
Yeah.
Lower our guard.
Yeah.
And let strangers hit on us and potentially fuck them.
Right. I didn't even know women were doing that. I was watching Law and Order. I thought they weren't doing that. But then in New York you find out they are doing it. Like they were doing that. But it's like, at least you meet online, you get their Instagram, you see pictures.
Yeah.
You see what they like.
You can
see who they follow. They have, if you meet somebody, they got a lot of followers, you can be like, okay, well, some people like them, right?
Yeah,
a
little bit of proof.
Right,
yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, if you're at a bar and it's just like, I like the way you look, that's really it. I like the way you look and I like that you can talk to me for like the first 5 minutes. I'll go have sex with that person. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's way more normal to be like, let me read all these questions that you answered.
Yes.
I get to message you a few times. Then maybe we meet, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like you could go to a bar. You could go to any bar wearing a suit and be like, I'm the chief of staff for whoever. And you'd be like, I know he is.
Yeah.
Chief of staff.
He said it. It might be true.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember when I was like, crazy how fast it changed. Right? I remember when I was in high school, our athletic trainer was a very pretty woman. And she met her very pretty husband, a very pretty, very attractive, handsome, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I would have fucked the guy, that's what I'm saying. And they met on Match. And like in high school, it was like we whispered about it. Like,
yeah.
They met on Match.com. Yeah. What are they? Like, they're two fucking beautiful people. Yeah. The fuck are they doing meeting on Match.com? Yeah. And then now, like, I bet 0% of the people who were weird about that then have met their significant other.
I don't know anybody who even most of my friends are, like, wiped up, but like I don't even know of any of them. Like, let's go out and like get chicks tonight. You know what I mean? Like, let's go.
I mean,
out,
that's like illegal in some states. Yeah. to leave your house saying you're going to sleep with one. You can't do that. You'll lose your career for that if they find out that's what you were trying to do. You got to be like, nope, I'm just going to this bar to just, I enjoy Taylor Swift and I'm just here for a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
I like that.
No, it's definitely different.
So what if, like, you got the special.
Yeah.
Are you doing podcasts? Are you doing, like, what else?
Yeah. I got the special. Been promoting it. It came out in November, last November.
You were all over the city.
I was on the billboard. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I was trying to, like point girls in the direction. Like, you're talking to, like, somebody in the street, and you're like, oh, look at who's this? They're like, I don't know. I can't tell who that is. It's filtered. This doesn't look like you at all. So I did this special. Then I did like the cool podcast run. I was like a dude. I ran away from podcast because I was always like, I speak too freely, and I was like, I'm just gonna get canceled, and then something's gonna happen.
Some trouble.
Yeah, it's gonna get canceled. But then I did like a bunch of them, and they were always cool. Like, people were cool. Like, I always have fun. So now I'm on tour, like touring again, like trying to get the new hour together for whatever. And I'm starting my own podcast that's going to drop, I think, in a couple weeks.
Oh, dope.
It's called, the Adulthood Podcast. Just me and my boy kind of just talking shit, giving women advice. You know that? It's like we're the anti that. But it's so much on Instagram. It's just like men giving women advice. And then you look at them and you're like, I don't think you got women.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is just kind of like what you think.
The amount, again, of people lying, my divorce lawyer was telling me he's representing some guy who's online as a like a self-help guru, economic, blah, 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 who says he's worth nine figures.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've seen his his net worth, it's like $80,000.
Yeah.
Like,
what is it?
Like, but, I mean,
how much does he have in Bitcoin?
That's the, like, I, you know, can't knock the hustle. I get it. You got to represent yourself in a certain way. But like, you're saying you're worth hundreds of millions and you have $80,000.
Yeah.
Like,
bro, you got to take out a loan to get a Lexus.
Like, that's crazy. And there's enough people out there that probably believe him. I mean, maybe not if he's only worth 80,000. But like, god damn, you can just lie to the maximum.
Yeah,
it but used to you be like, you know, let me so much bend you believe the truth. It though. Yeah, I guess that's the thing.
Like,
yeah.
You do it every day, you start to believe. Like, yeah. What the thing? Like, I literally started the podcast because we would send it to each other. We would laugh because it's like both is two sides. Like, there's like a group of men that are like telling women, like, listen. You ladies need to behave this way. You need to let men cheat. You need to cook for them every night. Yeah. And you need to love it. And then there's another group of men that are like, when a woman's ready to be loved, you need to man up and become the man she really needs. Yeah, so it's like, you're both doing two characters. Yeah. Like, there's more be nuance normal, in there. Bro. Yeah, like, yeah. There's a middle. You're like, a
regular
you're,
fucking person.
Right, yeah, be, God, be normal.
Making this shit so fucking weird.
Yeah, it is.
It is crazy. And the amount of advice that's being given in the first place, like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
Why it's just like, who
are
you?
Yeah. It's literally, who are you? And then you see, like, women, they'll share the ones that they like, and then the men will share the ones that they like.
Yeah.
But the women is like, I mean, the man ones who are preaching to women, they're like, when a man's ready to love you, he'll give you his entire check when he comes home. So if a man isn't giving you his entire check, then he just doesn't love you. And then I see my woman friends, they'll post it like, facts. And I'm like,
of course you say that.
Yeah,
facts.
Yeah. And then there's my boys are like, women should accept that a man is gonna have many mistresses. And he's like, facts.
I'm like,
is there no middle?
I love the one dude who went viral not too long ago who was just like, if you don't have a Lamborghini by the time you're 25, you're a fucking bum.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, man? Like, nobody has a Lamborghini. Yeah,
literally,
again,
nobody.
Maybe a Lexus, but a Lamborghini.
If you have a Lexus by the time you're 25, you are in the 1%.
Yeah.
You are a super overachiever.
Fucking Lambo.
Yeah, they say it like that. Like, you need to have your Lamborghini and at least 3 or 4 properties all around the world.
You know what I love too? The this it always pops up every now and then. Like, the would you rather have
a dinner with somebody?
Yeah, a dinner with Jay-Z, yeah. Or a dinner with fucking, you know, Jeff Bezos or whatever, or like $500,000 or $1 million or whatever it is. Like,
people will be taking the dinner. Like, I don't get that.
No, it's fucking insane. Like, the knowledge that you'll gain. I'm like, you know what fucking Jay-Z would say at dinner? Nothing. He's eating dinner and just be like, who the fuck are you?
You should have taken the $500,000.
First order of business as Jay-Z, if someone ever offers you just $500,000 for nothing, you take it.
I could do a full 6-month internship with Jay-Z, and at the end of that internship, I will have no idea how to make money.
Right.
I would just walk away like, I don't know what I learned.
Like, we'll do this video in a minute after the podcast. We have a show called Answer the Internet. It's all these hypothetical questions we ask, and one of them is like, would you rather $1 million or go back to 18, but you have all the same knowledge you have now? And it's like, I mean, I would do a couple things differently, but for the most part, that doesn't help me.
$1 million.
I can't go back in time and just know.
What do you think I would have done?
Because I know things. Because
I knew people. Because I knew TikTok was coming. You think I would have created TikTok? Yeah.
they say things like, "Well, you would know like about the iPhone." It's like, well, I can't make the iPhone. Yeah. I could go to someone and say, you know what we need is a phone that has a screen and a this and a that. But
I sound like an insane person.
I mean, for me,
you're always going to be on this and it takes pictures and you go on the internet and there's a social media where everyone hates Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And like, what are you talking
Chinese
about?
Chinese kids are dancing? It's like, oh, what?
They're like, Chinese kids. They don't let them have kids. When you were 18, I mean, the only way I would win is I would know who won championships.
That's
and I would just bet the house on that.
The only thing you
even
do is
that.
Gamble.
That's like,
the
was
only
that
way.
17?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember really.
It's just silly questions to like create dialogue.
Yeah. That's what we'll do in a minute. But it is funny how people get so fucking serious about a dinner with Jay-Z. I mean, listen, it would be cool to go to dinner with Jay-Z. It's just not worth $500,000.
I know people who have went to dinner with Jay-Z and they were like, we just had dinner. Like you said, like,
yeah.
You ordered the
wine. You know what he would be like, oh man, this fucking chicken parm is great.
Like, what could he possibly tell you? Like, he's worth billions of dollars. You're worth zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Like, just, what advice?
Just talking to smart people doesn't do a goddamn thing. to bring it all full circle, just like accept that you're gonna lose, man.
Big time. Yo, loser.
If you accept you're gonna lose, you have no expectations, you can never really fail.
Yeah, but try. Don't
try. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, don't. I'm a very, I've always lived like the life of like, snake it till you make it and try to finesse it. But that doesn't mean just don't try and be a fucking bum.
No,
about
no.
It.
You try. Making an effort is enough.
Yeah.
Make all the effort and then embrace your loss when you fail.
My man. Embrace mediocrity. I love it.
I got that tatted on my chest.
So the special's out on HBO Max.
Yes, romantic special's out. Romantic comedy is on HBO. And, I got a bunch of stuff on YouTube.
And Adulthood is out.
My Comedy Central Half Hour on YouTube. My Tonight Show set's on YouTube. The Adulthood podcast coming in a couple weeks. Appreciate Thank you guys for having me. This is super fun.
Pleasure, man.
Super fun.
We got to have you on the Mets podcast, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.